The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy.
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Yes.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's here. Well, except for Eric. He's in Africa, out in Africa. Paul's here. Andy's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth.
You know what? I go with the African Queen, but I like that one better.
Okay, either one works, though. We got a lot to talk about today. Didn't think that would be the case for a Thursday, the last Thursday in February, but we do. Besides the combine stuff, which kind of is old news now in the NFL, everybody's talking about contract restructuring and all that stuff, and it's kicked off a little radio war here in Boston between the two top sports talk radio stations. I guess there's only really two, but you know, and I don't understand. We were talking about it today. I don't understand why Tom Brady's deal is making everybody go crazy. One side or the other.
Well, it's become Paul's. It's like a Brady Bledsoe. Like, you have to hate something or love something.
Right.
And, you know, you either think he is this magnanimous martyr or the other side. You know, he's this money hungry. I don't understand it.
By saying that Brady's deal is really good for him, you're like saying that Brady's a terrible guy.
Right.
You know, and if you say that, you know, it's not, then. You know,
I don't understand.
Yeah,
I don't understand how a geek, you know, like an accounting thing can just elicit passion like it was a throw. Like, okay, I can understand your team lost a Super Bowl potentially on a throw that was either a bad throw, a bad catch. You know, that's something that's worthy of debate and months of discussion and bar. Accounting isn't.
Well, it's like Fred made the comment this morning when we were all talking about it a little bit. You know, he did something that allowed the Patriots to get some extra cap space, and that's good. And, you know, Brady, in turn, took less on the back end of it, and that's good. So why does it have to be the editorialization in between? Like you said, Andy, he needs to be a martyr now. And if you think that, well, Brady, look at the sacrifice that he made. Or the other side of, well, Brady didn't really do anything. Why are you guys, you know, making him out to be Mother Teresa? Like, why does there have to be anger
right.
on either side?
Right.
And now people, part of the feud you're talking about is people, Paul was talking about this, that it came from a Comcast Uno Sports Tonight, which, you right. know, we're the MVPs
Your
of that
place.
Show.
Your yeah. home away
we're
from
the MVPs.
Well,
of
Andy
that
and
show.
I did square off in the final
of the MVP.
That's true.
Their but, most popular yeah,
they're talking football throughout the offseason without us, but
right.
that's a separate topic. They like to do games and sentences and fill in the blanks and things. And the fill in the blank was, if you were a teammate to Brady, you would say to him, and F you was Dan Shaughnessy's thing,
right.
apparently. Well, I don't get that personally, because I don't think Brady is worthy of any of that.
Hey, no, if I was Brady's teammate, I'd say F you.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I don't get that,
like,
either.
If you want to say, and people have talked about in the past when he's done this previously, the team uses it. Well, Brady's not the highest paid, so you really shouldn't be asking for X. You should take a little bit less. Well, that's the team. That's not Brady
right.
doing that. That's Brady allowing them, to, you know, giving them the opportunity.
Right.
But I think he looks at it as they have financial flexibility to make me a winner for the next 5 years or 3 years,
if
whatever.
If Brady got up on a soapbox and told all of his teammates, I took less, now you guys have to do the same, then I would say, F you.
Right.
You did what you wanted to do for yourself.
My
that's
business
all well
is
and
my
good.
Business. Your business
Tom
is
Brady
your business.
Tom Brady signed a contract.
Yep.
That's his contract.
Yep.
It's his business. And but how that affects anybody right. else is not Tom Brady's fault.
Right.
So how, I agree, everything that Andy just said, how you could look at that and say, that's a bad thing. Now, is there a possibility that there's trickle-down effects that happen both ways? Does someone sign for less than maybe he should have? Or the other side, do you have more money now to sign someone that you wouldn't have
right.
been able to? I think that works down, trickle down both ways.
And exactly. And I think when we talk about people at Tom Brady's level, and there's not a lot of them, but if those kind of guys start saying at the end of their career, hey, I'm willing to take a little less in order to win, like Paul said, that's good for everyone, really, because there's more money to spend on these other guys.
I can see the argument where it's not good for everyone, but it's good for Tom.
Talk about at the end of their career.
But in a lot of ways, it is good for everyone, because especially in the NFL, where there is now a salary cap floor, the money's getting spent. So if Brady doesn't get it, you can argue they have to spend it
right.
on
no, but,
a lesser player.
Okay, I'm just and don't jump on me here. I'm just going to play. I'm just going to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I think that what Tom did is a great thing for the Patriots. Okay, it's like my preamble that you were making fun of me about.
Preamble to Jay?
No, my preamble that Brady's the best quarterback in football, and there's no one I'd rather have. Okay,
we all love Tom Brady. Let's get that out of the way.
And,
we love Tom Brady.
Well, I love him when he's here.
But
jeez.
To play devil's advocate, if Andy's right and the team does use that against Brady, so he's the an older guy who says, I'm going to accept less to take to help win. Okay, so now you have more money at your disposal, but the team might say, I'm going to go out and get 10 guys instead of 5 because I have more money. Whereas, for example, Wes Welker might be looking at it and say, well, I want 5 for 40. The Patriots are saying, I can't have that because Tom only got 3 for 24.
Right.
Now, if that happens, that's not a good thing for everybody else.
And
if they establish
that, well, when I'm 38, I'll be glad to take that.
Well, I understood, but right. What ends up happening if that happens, Wes Welker ends up signing somewhere else,
right?
Because they establish that no one's getting more than Brady. So if Brady takes less and no one's getting more than Brady, that ain't good for everybody else,
right? But no agent would succumb to that. So
you don't think that Wes Welker's agent might say, all well and good what Tom Brady did, but I want what I want?
Of course he would.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
and
what
I
he's saying.
And I expect him to. And
okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying the opposite. The agent won't succumb
to that. No, the agent won't succumb to that argument. They'll say, screw you.
Right.
I don't care what Tom Brady did.
And if you give me the $120 million that Brady made previously, then yes, I will take less in my final contract with you.
No one's factoring in all that.
And I keep looking at this stuff and how it's going to affect the other quarterbacks around the league. Now, like Joe Flacco is a free agent. It could affect the actual number of franchise numbers because Brady's number's lower.
Well, see, people keep saying that. Isn't that only the exclusive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because people keep saying the franchise tag.
But
no,
it's the average of the top five.
Franchise tag.
But that's what
it's not that.
No.
It isn't that anymore?
No, the exclusive is different.
Well, neither of them have that anymore. It's a five-year average of the this
APV,
and a percentage
right?
of the cap and a this and a that. But that all happened already. The exclusive tag is variable until April or whenever.
No, I think it might be the new league year.
Whenever it is.
It might be the end of the tag, which is the fourth. Once you can put the tag on. But you might be right. It could go to April, too, and it could get adjusted. But they wanted to use the exclusive on Flacco as a last reason. If they can't
but
get a deal.
But isn't that even tied into a longer term now?
I don't know exactly what it is, but they're saying that this impacted that by knocking it down about $800,000.
No, but so did Roethlisberger's then.
Right.
So did anybody who this happens every year with everybody.
By the way, Roethlisberger just restructured. Didn't extend, but restructured.
And is that official? Did that happen?
Yeah, it's on NFL.com.
So like $8 million in cap space they got?
It freed them up $6 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. You said eight. You said six. I read three.
I didn't.
Well, that's what I'm reading what NFL.com
said. And I had read yesterday that they were trying to do it and it would save them. So I don't know.
Because all I saw was like, I think it was Ed Bouchette tweeted, the deal saves the Steelers $3 million.
Ed's good.
Okay.
But that it gives them $3 million in cap space?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Roethlisberger probably isn't making a dime less.
And he's not a saint.
Oh, he's right. Probably making a few dimes more.
Right. That's more guaranteed. It's what it is. Yep.
The exclusive right. The whole thing with Flacco, I agree with you, Andy. The number might change for that franchise number, but it's probably not going to impact his contract if he signs a long-term deal.
Right.
He's going to get somewhere in the parameters of what he wanted. They're not going to look at it and say, you're no Tom Brady. Tom Brady at 40 is only going to make $7 million, $9 million, whatever the last year is.
You know, if I were Flacco, I'd say, okay, when I'm 40, I'll
when
make
I'm
that
40,
too.
I will take that.
I will take that when I'm 40. You know, he's in his 20s.
Right.
You know, so this whole thing, it's like, oh, the widespread hysteria with contracts throughout the league and how it's going to impact Joe Flacco. Do you think his agent's upset? No. Plus, I don't think his agent's upset.
As I said the other day, when he put his name on that lawsuit and became a player rep and all that, he did his service for the union. He did that. If he chooses now to, maybe it screws him. Let's just go with the argument it screws him. That's okay. He's now looking out for himself. I don't think you can begrudge the guy for that. You can't always expect a guy to only be union first all the time. And
right.
To me, that's the trouble with unions. Everybody's forced into
Leave
thinking
my
that
Tom
way.
Tom Brady alone.
You can't even think for yourself.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to bring up that we didn't really discuss the other day and that didn't really hit me was he's now infinitely more tradable at the end of this contract.
Yes, he is. He loses and leverage. What he does
I find that
leverage
interesting.
At the end.
I find that very interesting that 2015,
I still don't rule out L.A. I know you guys laughed at me when I said L.A.
I still laugh because there's no
team. I
didn't
laugh at you.
But there is going to be.
I've heard that for about 15 years.
And wouldn't it be great to
And I don't think Brady's playing until 50.
Wouldn't it be great to kick off that team with Tom Brady for even a couple years?
Sure.
Oh,
if that team ever exists,
if you had a team in place by 2016, I think that would be a home run.
But that's a big if.
But I also think it's a huge sacrifice by Robert Kraft if he's still playing at a high level and you say, oh, what a great way.
No, I don't think that'll happen. I think the interesting aspect, though, is all the ways it, I mean, your example. Maybe Brady wants to go there. He's got his house in Brentwood. He can go there and she can be, you know, seen.
Maybe they can build a stadium on the other side of the moat.
Right. Except what if they trade him to the Jaguars instead? Or they trade him to the Chiefs.
Right.
He doesn't have that. Now, who knows what the say would be, and Robert would say, you know, let's do what's good for him and maybe whatever. But I find that interesting that if Bill Belichick somehow in the 2015 draft, somebody was available, or 2016 draft, and he went up and got a guy under the new, and everybody says, well, you'd have dead money. Yeah, so? Teams have dead money all the time. And if it's $18 million, well, if I'm only paying my starter $3 million, because I drafted Andrew Luck or whoever it is.
I can eat
okay.
It.
And then next year, they now have a lot more flexibility, in my opinion, to massage the end of the Brady era than they necessarily might have.
Yep.
And I find that interesting, especially Paul's guy, you know, Bill Belichick, just at some point, you're out.
And
put
I guess
13
I guess,
in the playoffs a couple more times to see what happens.
I guess the other component of what's going on terrestrial radio is the whole thing about Brady sent an email to John Dennis specifically because he didn't want to talk about
this. Did you read about this at all?
And then
by
Dennis
the way?
Read the email live.
Freddie, did you read about this at all, or are you just going off of what we were talking about?
Well, I read a little bit about it on the Bruce Media.
Okay, because I didn't hear any of this firsthand, so I don't want to necessarily report stuff.
Actually, Ryan Hatfield wrote about it.
Who the hell is that?
He writes now for Boston Sports Media.
He's the one that owed
about
his career to somebody.
I don't know.
Don't we all? Don't
but
we
anyway,
Ordway.
I guess, you know,
I don't mind.
He read this email that wasn't supposed to be read on air, and Brady's, you know, pissed off.
Because they invited him to come on, and the email response was, I don't want to talk about it on the radio
or anywhere else.
Or anywhere else.
That's the first line,
precisely
and John Dennis
for this
reads
reason.
It.
He doesn't want to come off as anything to his teammates or anyone else. You know, I did a deal. It's my deal.
I should send him an email when we go back and say, so this is why you should just email me and Andy.
Right.
Because when we email back and forth, it's always just between us.
Right.
But I can't believe that John Dennis would do that without checking with him. You know,
and he even said, I guess before prefacing the read, I'm not sure if Tom wants me to do this or not. I don't think he'll have a problem with me doing this.
So a part of you thinks he might have a problem.
Yeah, if you don't know, you should have asked.
It's almost like as he started to read it, he had second thoughts.
Email, reply, Tom, okay if I read this on air?
Tom Brady.
That's all he had.
No. You know what? I did. I got the impression that he was talking about this, and then when he went to read it, I think he was thinking to himself, I'm not sure that
it might have been when
knew.
The words, I don't want to talk about it on the radio or anywhere else, were coming out of his mouth, and he goes, oh.
No, but even before he read that, he said, and I don't think Tom will have a problem with me reading this. And I'm like, the fact that you said that tells me that you're at least thinking about the possibility that he might not want you to read this.
Right.
And then I think he had talked about it so much, I kind of felt like, I can't not read it now, because now I'm leaving the, you know, my listeners, you know, sort of on the edge.
It really doesn't matter.
Really bad. It's not a huge thing
for him,
but just bad.
If you know, a lot of people think they're going to continue to shake things up at EEI, and he could be out anyway. But if he's still
that
there
was
next
my
fall,
joke.
Tom Brady still has to
They'll
be on Patriots Monday.
They'll make up.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
not,
no, but it's not even like Brady chooses to be on. It's part of Patriots
right.
Monday.
It's
how it works.
It's also
contractually
Brady.
Obligated.
It's right. Also Brady. He's right. Going to be he'll be upset about it, and he might never forget about it. But he'll be fine with it. It's
right.
Not like if it had happened to somebody else.
He's a big boy. He'll make it. You know, he doesn't hold grudges that, as far as we know.
As other people do.
Right. So, but, you know, the idea that this Brady contract changes things in the NFL forever is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's not like that, but that's the way it was portrayed by some. And then if you didn't agree with that, you know, you hate Tom Brady.
Well,
it was like this either or proposition.
I can't believe how many times I read things from people saying, Brady hater.
Right.
On people that said, you know, he really didn't make a huge sacrifice. He took less at the end and took more up front.
Right.
And that qualified you as a Brady hater.
Within the window that he already had, he's now making $3 million more, and more of it is guaranteed.
All of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
No. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it that he, in the window he previously had,
is now
guaranteed plus $3 million.
And right. He gets it all.
Right.
Not totally up front. He gets it in some installments, but
I mean, it was virtually guaranteed anyway because you weren't
right.
getting cut.
Just
right.
like,
but it's still now 100% guaranteed.
Right. And just like the last 3 years, even though they're below market value, are virtually guaranteed. They're not guaranteed. They're only guaranteed for injury, which
That's
and I
a
pointed
misconception.
Out pointed yep. out last week on Tuesday rather. It's guaranteed for injury, but if he's on the roster at the end of the 14 season, let's face it.
Yeah,
it's.
If he gets released, someone's going to pick him up and pay him more.
Well, but that's the part he gave up.
Yeah, he
actually,
gave up the leverage.
If he's healthy and they release him for some reason, he's healthy. Maybe he had a slightly down year and they somehow got Andrew Luck and just financially they're ready to move on. Then he's fine because then he says, start the recruiting.
But
give me my money.
But just like we've been told over the years with these contracts, don't pay attention to those years at the end. The player's never going to see
it's
it.
It's the opposite of those contracts.
Yeah, right.
This
see,
is front-loaded
right.
instead of back-loaded.
There's nothing stopping the two sides sitting down at the end of 14 and looking at this again.
Because that's what Bill Belichick always does. Just looks to give extra money to people.
Well, you know.
See, it's the opposite
see, I think
of
Robert
don't.
Kraft will.
Now, he might.
I think he will.
But. I still, forget it.
He did sacrifice
no,
leverage at
that.
The end of, you know,
yes.
the extension.
Yes.
There's no doubt about
100%.
That.
100%. And he was paid $3 million for it.
Right. So.
But it is. It's in many ways, it's the opposite of one of these long-term extensions,
right.
which usually get nothing at the beginning, so you could have this shiny contract that you're saving on the cap and you're putting it off. This is the opposite. It's front-loaded, and you're giving him a lot of money up front, but you add it in the back so you can spread it over a longer period of time, and then the salaries at the end are low.
And it's the opposite argument. In usual contracts, the team side says, well, that's really a fake contract. He's never going to see those $15 million salaries.
Right.
This side, the Brady supporters are saying, well, he's really not going to see those tiny salaries. If, you know, he's still around, he's going to get more than that. It's like a reverse.
But in a lot of ways, this contract is more valuable to Brady than some of those contracts were to the other guys because worst case scenario, he's getting $57 million. Worst case.
You know, what was the Chris Mortensen? Steve McNair is not expected to get his $50 million roster bonus. Really, not
like
expected
that.
To?
Something
$50
like
He's not going
to
get the $50 million roster bonus?
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. So we got that going on.
We got another thing going on.
Which is what?
Well, I was going to say Brandon Lloyd. Well, seems to be the secondary hot topic of
Now, I don't know what depth chart Tom Curran is citing, because Patriots don't issue a depth chart. But anyway, he says according to depth chart that he's seen.
No.
Okay.
According to a source at the Combine,
yeah,
he is not on the Patriots 2013 depth chart.
Okay. And nowhere to be found on that depth chart, which, you know, again, now this opens up this whole thing. You know, why are they, why is that? And, you know, I heard Shalise Manza-Young on 98.5 this morning say, you know, he's a weird guy, and people knew that. But we knew that coming in.
Which is what Curran reported. Weird.
And I'll tell you something right now. If the Patriots release Brandon Lloyd, it has nothing to do with him being a weird guy. As far as we know, nothing that he did from a weird standpoint would warrant being released.
Well,
if they release him, it's because of his performance.
Combined with the weirdness.
Well,
according to Greg Bedard, what was the word he used?
Erratic behavior.
But it grew tiresome.
Erratic behavior grew tiresome.
Yeah,
because
it bothered people.
Because he didn't perform the way they wanted him to.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a combination.
They would live with it.
If he had 1,500 yards and 20 touchdowns, he'd stay on the team.
The erratic behavior wouldn't be any tiresome.
Exactly.
He's fine.
But the erratic behavior wouldn't be any less tiresome if he had that kind of a year.
Oh, I think it would be for Tom Brady.
No, well,
if you made me have a special season, I'm a lot less annoyed at the work I
have to put
in.
Exactly.
Fred, I agree with your premise. But absolutely, it has something to do.
It has something to do with. We're not going to tolerate that.
Let's put it this way: a model citizen.
When you're catching barely half the balls thrown to you.
If Matthew Slater caught 74 for 9-11 and 4 touchdowns, with the way he operates.
Oh my God! We put him in the Hall of Fame right now.
We would not be
right.
We would not be getting rid of him if he would do a $3 million roster bonus.
Right. Exactly.
Because of his erratic behavior.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to say it doesn't have anything to do with that, Andy's right. It's a combination of the two. I agree with your premise. If he was as productive as he was the last 2 years before this, and that's the other thing. Everybody says, second best year of his career. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't the second best year of his career. He didn't have as many yards or touchdowns as he did the year before he got here with two teams combined. Denver in St. Louis. So it's not just the 1 year that he had that was lights out in Denver with McDaniels. He had another year where he had, I think, only one more touchdown, but slightly more yards and 70 catches again. Mm-hmm. So another I think it was a 2 yard difference in average per catch. Everybody talks about the yards after the catch. I don't care about yards after the catch. I care about yards, period.
Right.
He didn't get any of them.
Right.
You know, if he was getting 25-yard in-cuts and falling down when he caught it, I have no problem with that.
Four of those is a touchdown.
And I even
no, but you know what I'm saying? If you're falling down over the middle because you're catching a deep in-cut like Torrey Holt,
right.
I have no problem with that. He was catching 5-yard slants and falling down.
And
I have a problem with that.
I can tell. And what makes it worse for me is...
But everybody fixates on yards after catch.
And what makes it worse for me is if those are the balls you're going to catch, you got to catch more than half of them.
That's another strong argument.
That's what we've said all along. He wasn't what he was supposed to be in the production. Like, the yards after catch would be irrelevant. You know, they like to throw yards at catch.
Right.
Well, if he's catching it at 25 yards, that's great.
Yeah. Now,
yards after catch is important to Welker.
He had something like 200 yards after catch all season or something on 74 catches.
But, you know,
that would be great if he had 1,500 yards.
Right.
But he had 900.
Yeah, if he got tackled, because you say he's got no separation, but he's still catching balls down the field.
No problem.
Right.
You know, now, again, going back to the behavior part of it, now, there might be stuff we don't know about that grew tiresome, but the stuff we knew about, the odd behavior with the press, that's not a reason to release a guy if he's performing.
Correct.
Well, let's get that. That's a good point, Freddie. This has nothing to do with the press.
Right.
This has to do with his interaction with his teammates.
Right.
The only question
is...
We don't know what it is.
Is what we see sort of typical or even less than what he sees in more comfortable environments with teams, players, coaches, whatever? Because there is a possibility of that. But this, I mean, I got to assume that every locker room has 10% whack jobs.
Right.
That people don't... I mean, there was a report came out that Nnamdi Asamoah always goes to his car to eat lunch during the middle of the day for some, quote, me time away from his teammates.
He's one of those cerebral...
That's a little weird.
He's one of those cerebral guys that's a little bit too smart for his own good.
I got to think there are endless players that are, as Tom Curran wrote, citing a player, weird.
And most of them are wide receivers or cornerbacks, but that's okay.
Wide receivers especially.
You know, that's the way they are.
But if you recall back, and I'll give Greg Bedard credit for that too. He wrote a really interesting story right shortly after they signed him, with all kinds of quotes from anonymous GMs.
I think it was actually before, wasn't it?
Was it before they signed him?
I think
or
it
after?
Was right before, right when it was like a, what do they say, fait accompli.
And basically, if you look back at some of the things that it sort of warned you about, it happened. These were some of the things that they're talking about now. Again, you're right, Fred. We don't know exactly what erratic behavior that grew tiresome entailed. But that's what they sort of talked about, how he would have these up and down days. These,
right.
You know, one guy, I think, actually said he may be bipolar in that Greg Bedard story.
The original, yes.
Yeah. And that's, you know, if that wasn't a red flag, this basically the way it point, and this doesn't have anything to do with how he talked to the media or whether he talked to the media. Because that, I mean, there's a lot of guys that didn't talk to the media that got along famously. Randy Moss, in 2007, talked to the media like after every game, basically.
Yeah, but Lloyd was different.
And his teammates loved him.
Brandon Lloyd was unique. Let's not pretend he was similar to any other player that
no,
came
I'm just
in
trying
terms
to say this doesn't have anything to do with the media.
No, I know, but let's not pretend. This is unlike anyone we've ever seen come through that locker room in terms of the flat out. The only person that I can compare him to from my experience is Terry Glenn. Was a little, you know, stare at you, not answer a question, you know, look into his locker and ignore you, but then might answer something, you know, kind of all over the place. That would be my comp to him.
Listen, Andy, you're absolutely right. I can't recall a guy who made me feel more uncomfortable in dealing with him. But what I'm trying to say
is, we've dealt with Washington. We've dealt with Corey Dillon. No one was as unique or as weird as Brandon Lloyd.
But if he was the model teammate, aside from that, that wouldn't be a factor at all.
Yeah, but how often does that happen?
I think it happened with Randy Moss. I think he was a pretty
good teammate. He was such the model teammate that they shipped him out of town, and then you heard that they were bitching about it for a year and a half.
Well, he was definitely a Pied Piper.
That was well after the fact.
I think it's pretty rare that a guy looks like he's a whack job or hard to deal with or weird, and behind the scenes he's the perfect soldier.
But I think
generally we find out, yeah, they put up with it for a while.
I think in 2007 he was pretty good. Now it wears on you because he is definitely, as Fred just used the term, Pied Piper. And I'm glad you brought that up because I wish I could credit this, but someone wrote recently that there's a fear about Talib about that because he has that sort of personality. He's sort of a Pied Piper type that young guys gravitate toward, and they're not sure they want to have guys gravitate to Aqib Talib. I forget who wrote that. It was I just read it yesterday.
Sure, you didn't dream it?
No, I didn't dream it.
So that's there. And then
but the issue, they have no receivers. Yeah. Assuming they're going to move on, they have no receivers. And that's one thing I thought could be a technicality on your little depth chart thing. He's due a roster bonus, right?
Oh,
maybe they look at
that
it as like
fantastic.
If you're not 100% signed, we don't put you on the depth chart. We have these other categories under here, and that, you know, the day they hand him that, now officially he goes back on
now,
the depth chart.
Now, it might be a technicality, and I think that would be fantastic if it was a loophole like that, because I know it sounds like bad, but when in this business, you can't help but sort of crack up. Everybody gets them wrong. We have. Andy and I have, too. But when someone gets one wrong like that, you kind of chuckle about it, as long as it's not you. But don't you think if they knew they were going to pick up the bonus that he'd be on that
chart? I don't know. I'm just saying that could be the technicality.
But maybe they're not going to pick up the bonus and they haven't arranged. You know, giving you that $3 million.
I don't know what he's talking, though, about depth chart, because I was told that they don't do depth charts at this point in the season.
I'm guessing they do. All teams have
them. Of course they do.
In.
They have that whiteboard with all the magnets on it.
Magnets.
Yeah.
And some teams do, like with free agents, where they would put him in and say, this is where the guy would rank here.
Yeah.
Or if we draft this guy, this is where he would be on our depth chart.
It's basically your personnel and how they stack up.
You don't think that exists?
I think they know.
Come on, you watch Friday Night Lights.
Now, I find it hard to believe that they have that to you know, for an overview of their team, and there's a guy that's technically still on their team that they would just throw the magnet away and not.
Well, you obviously need to know, who do we have, who do we need,
right?
Where are the holes?
So that exists.
Yeah.
You slot him. You put him in line. There's something like that.
Yeah, but.
But I find it hard to believe he's not on it. I could see saying that as like a phrase, just sort of, he's not even on the depth chart.
He's not in the picture.
He's not in our plan.
Yeah. But to say like there's one that exists, you know, Nick Caserio opens up the thing and there's Oh, shoot, I forgot to put Lloyd on here.
I love when you come up with those things. Like, what? I wonder if it's just technically he didn't get the bonus.
Well, that's
yet.
One thing I thought of. If you wanted an out, you know, technically he has to receive that to
but,
stay.
But, I mean, couldn't you just as easily make the argument that technically he's still on the roster until we don't give him that bonus?
Well, no, because next year's roster doesn't start till March 12th. We're in the. If you gave me the 2012, he'd still be on there. But on the 2013, that begins March 12th.
So here's my question.
New league year.
My question for that was, where's Welker on that?
He's not on it.
He's not on
no.
it?
No, he's not right now.
If we franchise him,
no,
then
but,
we put him on
no,
it.
But do we know that?
Oh, I have no idea.
No, that's
I don't
what
know
I'm
if
saying.
Tom knows that. Ask his source.
Yeah.
And hope that the source isn't a voice in his head.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's go to John in North Carolina, who's been holding on. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, there's a... Two names I want to mention in the draft, and one I really like a lot. I watch a lot of football, and it's the Harvard has a tight end who would convert to H-back. And he set the records at Harvard, and the guy just really has outstanding hands. I can't believe Belichick won't check him out.
Who is this, Kyle Juszczyk or whatever they call
him? Yeah, it's a Polish name. Yeah, it's like Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Fantastic hands, and he can get downfield. He can get, I mean, the guy.
You really think that's a need?
Out.
A Harvard H-back?
But Hernandez and Gronk miss 10 games a year.
Yeah.
First of all,
I mean,
all right. This is
like, you know, they have Jake Ballard.
Wait a minute. You just said something. Gronkowski misses what?
I said Gronkowski and Hernandez miss 10 games a year combined.
Yeah, I think that's a little unfair. Gronkowski broke his arm and missed 6 games. Prior to that, he hadn't missed a single game.
Well,
Hernandez has dealt with injuries. He's missed some time. But
he plays with abandon. Okay.
I just don't think maybe it's me. I think they have enough tight ends. I think they have enough options. With secondary options in the passing game, I think they have enough running backs that can catch the ball. They have enough tight ends that can catch the ball. What I think they're lacking is an outside receiver. And certainly if they have turned their back on Brandon Lloyd, John, I think they're going to need to replace him, because as much as I'll be critical of Lloyd, they got to bring someone in that's capable of catching 75 balls. And, you know,
yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and that's a bigger need, way, way bigger need, but they do use an H-back a little differently than they do the tight end. It's a little differently.
That's Hernandez.
He was in there with, when Hernandez was in there, they together, and yeah. They use him in the backfield as a blocker. They sneak him out once in a while, but I think this guy would be a huge upgrade over Humani. So, I mean, number 47, Humani, he was on the field a lot. If you watch,
he was.
The guy was on the field.
Yeah, he got a lot of reps, you know, out of necessity.
He also has three more syllables.
You know?
I just don't, Hernandez is not a big guy. Hernandez is 6'1", 240. I think, you know, we're going to see more injuries with him.
Was Kyle from Harvard at the combine?
No.
He was not invited to the combine, but he went to the Senior Bowl and played fullback. They're thinking he's going to be a fullback. We really don't need a fullback, but I'm just thinking the way that Belichick can put pressure on the defense, an H-back in like the third round, fourth round would be nice. And I know we need – I mean, I was saying in, you know, week two, week three, we need outside receivers. That's what we lacked this year. That's what Brady didn't have. He wasn't on – and what's – so frustrating with Lloyd is Lloyd didn't miss any time. He was all there in the preseason. He knew McDaniel's system, and he never could get on page with Brady. It was obvious. He was always, I mean, they threw to him a lot, and he was just never on the same page with Brady.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you're I agree.
I actually like the Harvard kid. I just don't see him as a need.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's
what I was saying.
Thanks for the call, John.
And I, you know, in to John's point, I do think there's, you know, I think Bill will look at a guy like that, because I do think he's that sort of style, like,
sure.
You know, the guy that doesn't
necessarily... James Casey, a free agent?
Yeah, you know, the guy that doesn't necessarily fit into a box. Bill likes those guys.
Sure.
That have some talent that I'm not exactly sure what he is, but I'm going to find a way to use him.
The more you can do.
You know, I think Bill will look at a guy like that. I just don't think, like I said, offensively, I think they're secondary.
What does he do? Yeah. He's the opposite. He can't do anything.
He wins.
Wins what? Yeah,
I almost got into a fight with myself in the car this morning. I was behind a car that had a bumper sticker that Tim Tebow is God's QB. That's just so stupid. And it was like this little 50-year-old blonde lady.
And I'm
like,
the one that gets upset for no reason.
what are you doing with that bumper sticker? What do you know about football? What do you know about Tebow? Like, what possessed you to buy
why
that?
Why does it bother you that someone who's religious has sort of taken because Tebow as this symbol
there
for,
are endless,
for athletes?
As I said when Brian Hoyer was in here and we talking about Kirk Cousins, there are endless good guys who are religious, who go to Bible study, who do charity, not just Tim Tebow. And you know what? They're better than Tim Tebow.
Why does it anger you so?
Because he is such a fraud.
See, Andy,
it does anger me. I hate it.
We all have our problems.
It's just like this misperception that he's the only God-fearing, good guy quarterback that has ever lived.
And on a serious note, do you know how to pronounce the Harvard guy's name?
No.
Because I've seen it.
I don't even know his name.
It's
Juzelik.
Doesn't it have J's and K's and stuff?
Yeah, Z,
Y, Y.
When I see names like that, I just kind of skip them because I'm never going to learn it, so I'm just going to remember him as the guy from Harvard with the weird name.
I'm going to have to hope that we don't actually get him because...
Why? PR will tell us how to say it.
I'll never be able to pronounce it, never be able to spell it.
Oh, it's probably not that hard.
Well, it depends what he does. If he does it by the book, it's probably not that hard. Like Krzyzewski. That doesn't say Krzyzewski.
Right. But once you learn it, you learn it.
Well, this caller didn't. John wants to replace Humini.
I still can't.
It's Uh-oh, Manawa Nui. What did you do with the other three syllables?
Yeah, I still can't spell Krzyzewski.
You just gotta sing it. Oh, no freaking way. But, I mean, some of the names that we now take for granted weren't always easy. Like, remember we had stupid Hochstein up here and, you know, Gustowski and Gronkowski aren't the easiest names in the book. You know, you learn them and they just become second nature. Yeah, now, I understand it's a little harder, but.
Those Polish names, man.
And then the other story that's going on around
Gustowski, yeah.
National story is the Colorado kid who was asked if he likes girls in his interview at the Combine.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
Does the NFL operate under a separate set of rules with what you can ask?
In an interview?
Yeah. Because isn't it illegal to ask someone if they're married
in an interview? And I believe that's why the NFL released a statement saying that question is not allowed and totally inappropriate. They're cracking down internally.
They're doing an investigation.
Because they could be sued for equal opportunity employer or whatever.
Well, they're not equal opportunity employees, are they?
I think that falls under you can't ask
Don't
that.
They have an exception? I mean, you know.
I always thought
the way they responded so quickly, I think the league is taking Paul's perspective.
And listen, I'm not one of these guys that, you know, I'm not trying to make a big production out of it. I just thought it was odd. You know, there's inappropriate questions like.
Well, I liked Fred's response. Maybe they were just offering. It's like, you know.
You want a drink?
You like Miller Lights?
Right.
Here you go.
You like girls? We'll get you three. It's like Varsity Blues. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
You like girls? We'll get you two.
But, you know, we shouldn't laugh at it because it's.
Well, that's why.
This homophobic thing is just ridiculous.
Fred. We honestly are getting close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are close.
Kids
but I'm not even
that
taking
are dealing
it.
With it now and saying it'll just be easier if I'm always.
That's what it's going to be.
Is it Emerson
Andy?
Or MIT? It's Emerson.
Emerson. They paid for frat brother.
Which I think is so. Because, like, fraternity is like. That's men.
He's our brother.
Right. And. We're getting close to it. This not being as big a deal
and good.
And
I
agree,
Andy. Yeah. That's what it's going to take. Is somebody is going to be like a five star recruit in high school.
In high school, that's gay.
And he's going to already have come out and be gay. He's going to go to college and be a Heisman Trophy candidate and already be well established that he's gay.
Like Tim Tebow.
And then he's going to come into the NFL.
Right.
That's how it's going to happen.
I hope he can play unlike Tim Tebow.
But I'm not even talking about the homophobic. You know, ask her, do you like girls or whatever? Are you married?
Right.
Was part of that line of questioning. You're not supposed to ask that.
I think you can ask that.
No, you cannot.
No. But, you know, the fact
is. Well, in real world.
That's what I'm
saying. I don't know about NFL world.
The fact is, though, there have been NFL players that after they've played have come out and said, I was gay.
Quame.
So shouldn't they
Quame.
So shouldn't players realize now, well, he was there and he was gay that whole time and nothing happened.
I didn't drop the soap and
nothing
get assaulted.
Happened. It's their problem. It's not the gay person's problem. It's the other people's problem.
Right.
You
it's
know?
Like your lesbrew.
Yeah. So, all right.
Your Subaru, if she get a... Who asked you? I think we are really close. Like, I've noticed a lot of these, like, you read Yahoo in the morning and these, like, there was a valedictorian that, in part of her speech, came out. And there was this high school girl who just baked her parents a cake that said, I'm gay, and came out. Like, it seems like there's this, which is good. It's almost like there's a reverse peer pressure. Now it's like there's a groundswell of it's just the cool thing to do.
Well, there's support now.
Right.
There's support.
Well, even if there's not, they feel like they can.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's support, because I think there's always theoretically been support. There's always been organizations and people, but now it's like, the support is just, it's okay.
Yeah, know? The mainstream, it's becoming mainstream to accept it.
And it's become mainstream everywhere. I mean, yeah. More, and part of it is maybe, you know, the movie, you know, there's more gays in movies. There's more, you know, I remember my mother didn't like it. Like soap operas started having like lesbian kisses and stuff. But it's just.
What really? Time is that on?
Really?
You're unbelievable. Try to have like a serious discussion.
Oh, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Mr. Serious over here.
Well, I want to get to the point where we can joke about it and not get in trouble. Yeah. That's what I want to get to.
Well,
Paul is fat.
Andy just wants to make fun of him.
I want to get
right.
To the,
I want more opportunity.
I want to get to the point where it's not even funny and you don't even joke about it because it's so normal.
Well, that's not fun. Like Paul's fat. That's funny. I want more opportunity to rip people.
Joe writes in at webradio@patriots.com, getting back to football. Hey, guys, if the info about Nnamdi Asamoah is true, I would love to pursue him. Hopefully the Pats can be aggressive about that and also tag Tlaib. I feel if we just do that, everything else would fit in place. Having McCurdy and Gregory at safety would be just fine. Everyone could work in sync and let Arrington walk and maybe draft a slot corner later on. And what we need to do is draft an O lineman, maybe with our first pick. All year I felt something bad was going to happen. Luckily it didn't. But just getting a beast O lineman could set up everyone else in the line and then draft a wide receiver, someone fast. I don't pay attention to the college football, so I don't know. But I heard there are many fast wide receivers out there. And if we do all of that, then maybe next year is our chance. All right, go Patriots. Jets suck. Also, T. Suggs and a steroid-driven team sucks too. Yeah, Terrell Suggs is on the warpath.
He was on WEEI
saying 31 other teams hate the Patriots.
He is insane.
Not just me, and you know, he just can't let it go.
He's insane. Any truth to that?
I'm sure a lot of teams hate us.
Me too. But I don't really care.
When you're great, people hate you.
I don't know why you would be on another team and not hate the 31 other teams. I mean, maybe the Patriots is more passionate than most.
Right.
But I mean,
but you don't hate the Jags.
If I was
you're indifferent.
Yeah, I get that. But if I was, if I'm on the Bills, I hate the Dolphins.
Right.
I hate the Jets. I mean, right. I don't like other teams. Now, like I said, the Patriots probably a little bit more passionate than most.
But he still made me laugh with it. Did you see he?
I didn't actually see it.
He talked to EI, and then shortly thereafter he tweeted like, "Uh-oh, all of Boston's mad at me again. Do I look like I give a SHI?" And he sent out a photo of himself hugging the Lombardi Trophy.
Right.
He's funny.
Yeah,
he is funny.
I also want to know why he's the
insane though.
The untouchable J4. That's his Twitter handle.
Untouchable J4.
It's like nothing that is in any way connected to Terrell Suggs.
I don't know.
He's got a movie out, by the way. That's why he was on.
Oh, yeah?
He wrote and I don't know if he directed or produced.
Really?
He has a movie.
Wow.
And it's football related. There's like a main character who's prime something, who everybody thinks is Deion Sanders. And I think he mistreats women and the women get back at him.
Douses them with bleach? Oh, did that cut a little bit too close to home for Suggs?
I don't know what that means.
He got arrested.
For what?
For assault.
Brother?
Yeah. Like, supposedly, like,
he bleach on his wife?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was his wife. Yeah, I think so. I think it is his wife.
Maybe you want a white girl.
Maybe an estranged wife. I don't know.
Why would you do that? Like, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Like, how do you have bleach? I can see, like, you throw something at her, but, like...
Maybe you were cleaning at the time.
Yeah, like, he cleans.
Steve says, 31 other teams hate the Patriots, says Terrell Suggs. I love how the Ravens finally beat the Patriots in one big game, and what does he do? He runs his mouth. So that's okay. It just makes it that much better when we play them again.
And, I mean, you can't complain about it. It's the Patriot way to run your mouth afterwards. So if you're okay, that's what you do.
It's exactly what we do when we win big games.
Right.
And for the Ravens, by the way, this is the second time in the last three meetings in the postseason they have won. So which ones are the big?
The only other time they didn't, they should have. And he also, he gets specific about the annoyance with Brady, about how he's protected by the league. And, you know, Carson Palmer blew his knee out and nobody did anything. And somebody else blew their knee out and nobody did anything. But then Brady blows his knee out. We got to change the rules. And, you know, the extra treatment or special treatment that he gets.
Leave Brady alone.
Dan the Byman says about Dan Shaughnessy, F that Boston media clown. So
okay. He's actually kind of a nice guy.
He's a great guy.
I don't want to like ruin the image that fans have of him.
If he just wasn't so angry,
he's very.
In print
he's
all
just
the time.
Very predictable.
No, but I'm just saying, as a human being, when you talk to him, he's nice,
oh, he's
caring.
Fine. He's fine.
Genteel.
Yeah.
It's not like Eric, who's a douche on the show and a douche off the show.
Where is he? Out in Africa?
Is it wrong if I tweet him and say, Eric, are you dead yet?
Well, we did get some photos that he took of a rhinoceros, I think.
Yeah, you said it was from the Magic Kingdom or the Animal
Kingdom.
Some
elephants.
Oh, I saw that on Instagram or something.
Very far away. He must not have a good lens or something.
I used somebody else's account to tell him to get closer. Nope, closer.
So when does he come back from that?
Like 2 weeks or so. It's a long time. He's got 12 days in the backpack.
Yeah.
Getting packed in the back for a while.
I don't follow him.
Oh, see now.
What?
Maybe a mosquito will have its way with him.
I'm pulling for the spitting cobra.
Unlike Andy, I don't want anything to happen to him.
No.
And he's got his jaw shut out.
We want him to come back and have all these great stories to
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, but he won't.
Oh, there's no story better than he came back blind or eaten by a
rhinoceros. That's a good story?
I don't want that to happen.
I didn't say it's a good story in that it's something good that happened, but it's the best story.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. The best story recently to come out of Africa was the woman who was gored because her tour guide told her to back up closer to the rhinoceros.
All right, you might
that's the story.
You might think that's a good story.
I think that's pretty sad. It is a sad story, but it's the best possible story you can get.
No.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot more funny stories that were just
I didn't
as
say
good.
Funny. No. Yeah. Name one.
We'll find out when he comes back.
No. The gourd lady story makes like Yahoo's
I know,
front
but
page,
a good story.
Because it's a great story.
A good story doesn't have to involve gorging and injury and
no,
tragedy.
No, I didn't. But the best that could come out of Africa is tragedy.
I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. I don't agree
what do you
with
think?
The premise.
He comes back married to a lion?
Like
a happy ending?
What if he comes back married?
He meets somebody
would
in
that
Africa.
Be a, would that be a better story?
There. Yeah.
No. It just means he bought a wife there.
But just because he doesn't end up on Yahoo doesn't mean it's not a great story.
Right. They don't generally put the best stories on places that collect stories.
What if he came back and said, I've fallen in love? And
it would
getting,
be just like
getting,
every other vacation he's ever returned from. Run of the mill.
And we're getting married next week.
Run of the mill.
What if he's
every time he comes back, he's in love with somebody.
No, but I'm saying it's requited.
What if he saves like a 16-year-old girl from being run over by a herd of elephants?
Yeah, that's a great story.
And the father, in appreciation, gives her to him.
I'll say it was a setup then. He pushed her in front of the elephants before somebody was
looking. Forget the marriage part. What if he, you know, saved somebody?
Right.
What if that woman that was being asked to closer and closer, and all of a sudden Eric recognized the danger of the situation and swooped in and saved the person? That'd be a great story? No one gets gored. See,
that's not a good story.
That's what you are fixating on. You want something bad to happen to Eric.
No, not necessarily.
That makes you a bad person.
If he comes back and says, you know, luckily it wasn't me, but one of my co-campers was eaten by a lion, that's the most incredible story I've ever heard.
No.
It doesn't have to be Eric.
It is incredible, but there are other stories
that would be
just as entertaining.
If he wakes up and the lion is just licking his face and lays down and he rubs his back and the lion just okay, that's a great story. You're right. They don't all end with him dead, but most of them
do. I never thought that you and Andy could get into
an
argument over
into
what
the
would
theater
a good story
of the absurd.
Be. I never thought you guys could argue over what a good story would be.
But it doesn't matter. It'll never be as bad as the argument he and Eric had as to how far apart L.A. and San Diego are. They argued a fact.
Yeah, that was proof that we should never leave them alone.
Let's see. Josh in Manhattan writes in.
Why did you say it like that?
That's the way he wrote it.
Oh, okay.
I was listening to the Dan Patrick show the other day, and a caller called in with this, which sounds about right. What are your thoughts on having Manti Te'o Honey Badger on the Patriots? Not that they'd be around. Not sure I'd really be interested in Te'o, but this is what the caller said. Quote, Manti Te'o went on a national media campaign to tell us about his broken heart over a girl he ain't never met. He didn't miss that girl. He missed some Heisman votes. He missed some endorsement deals in the future. You want to talk about honesty? I didn't see the Honey Badger talking about how bad he's had it, but the media wants to rip old Honey Badger about honesty and paint Manti Te'o as the victim. Dude wasn't a victim. Even if he thought this girl was real, he was still dating other women. He didn't care, and then she dies, and he's all heartbroken over it and wants to go on TV and talks about it. Come on, man. One of the biggest frauds in college history. Talking about Manti Te'o. You guys agree?
I think it's a little strong.
Yeah.
On both sides. Who's killing the honey badger. I think most of what I read analysis-wise after Honey Badger's press conference is that he was came across very well and very believable.
And now, I do want him.
And I think he's...
I'd take him.
I think he's a more talented
depends
player.
Depends where he goes.
I think he's a more talented player than Teo.
If reports are true and he's a third or a fourth round pick, I'd take him.
But in terms
Teo's going to go in the first round.
But
that's
in terms of transgressions, Matthew's transgressions are far more serious than Teo's.
Teo didn't do anything wrong. If he wasn't in on it,
assuming the truth is the truth.
He didn't do anything wrong except be a naive... Now, there is something to the whole she was like my soulmate kind of love and crying about her when you're banging other girls on campus. There's a little something there, too. I agree with the emailer on that. Yeah. If you have a soulmate that, you know, you're this attached to, you're not, you know,
you're not
slipping
in the hot
tub? Everything that walks by.
You're not in the hot tub soaking it up with your soulmate?
Yeah, no.
Let's see. Brian and Essex.
I saw that scene the other night. I was just clicking around and that happened to be on. It was right on that scene.
I haven't seen that movie and
love that scene.
You ever see The Expendables?
No.
He just throws the piece of steak at Napoleon and hits him on the like, where does that come from?
Brian in Essex, Vermont writes in, firstly, I don't care what Newman, in parentheses, Gresh, and his merry band of losers has to say. There aren't even the most popular figures. They aren't even the most popular figures on their own site. PFW employs those individuals. Yeah, Andy and Paul, on to more pressing subjects.
And we have you guys to thank for that. Thank you very much.
No question, right. The power of the people.
Brandon Lloyd's year was a disappointment. Did he perform? Sure. Did he perform the role the Patriots needed? No. Lloyd drops to the ground like he was smashed in the head with a bat on every catch, and that's simply not what the Patriots were looking for.
Now, that would be a great story.
In a wide receiver. His behavior aside, he simply didn't live up to what the Patriots brought him in for, and I strongly feel that his production was higher simply because of injuries throughout the rest of the offense.
And opportunity. That's a good point, too.
You know, if the two tight ends were healthy for 16 games, he probably wouldn't have caught 74
And
balls.
He had that dip in the middle of the year where his targets and everything was down, and then it's like they needed him again, so they kind of were forced to go back to him.
And then he talks about Suggs. We talked about that already. And it looks likely that the Jeff Demps experiment is over, or do you think the Patriots will be interested in a player working two sports? Because I was under the impression that Demps is a great prospect for certain things, like kick returns and possibly punt returns. However, the concern is his weight and being able to handle being hammered by opposing defenses. So it's unlikely the Patriots will be interested if Demps is maintaining a track and field weight, correct?
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. Paul and I talked about that. I don't think there's a massive – he's a tiny guy.
Maybe he's going into the shot put.
What, as the shot put? he's a tiny guy. He's always going to be a tiny guy, whether he's tiny at 168 or 175 or – he's going to be tiny. And, yes, I'm sure there's a 10-pound, 15-pound difference or whatever from football to track, but I don't think that's – the biggest deal is, are you dedicated to me or are you not? I'd be pissed if I were the Patriots. I signed you. Didn't we give him some bonus money? As an undrafted
supposedly,
rookie.
Supposedly, the entire league was in
right
for his services, and we won him.
We gave him bonus money, and then you collected my salary for a year while on IR, and now you're going to go run track and just screw me? Right. I would not be happy if I was Bill Belichick. Well, I guess that's kind of redundant.
I mean, but and I don't know what's involved here. Is it as an amateur, as a pro with endorsements? What is he thinking of doing?
I don't know, but he's running next month for Team USA in some.
Oh, so it has to be an amateur.
I don't know how that works necessarily.
Oh, that's right. That's all.
Carl
changed.
Lewis, like they had all kinds of off field. Yeah. You know, Dan and Dave.
Plus, pros are now.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe there's a couple events that he's going to do, and you know, maybe he cleared it with the team. Who knows?
Well, but I agree with Andy. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's completely doable in terms of logistics. It runs from now to, you know.
May.
July,
yeah.
or whatever, and it's the offseason. He should be here developing in this offseason program.
That's true.
If you're Bill Belichick, as Andy said, I invested in you. I gave you money for basically doing nothing for a year so you could get up to speed. And now when I need you to be part of my 2013 pitcher, you're not here. You're running track. Now, listen, if that's what Demps wants to do,
then do it. But he should have done that all along.
But I do think that
don't jerk us around.
I do think it's a blow in terms of that whole Jeff Demps experiment. Could he still be part of the team? Can he return kicks and stuff? Yeah, he probably could. But I would like to think as a football player, he's not developing like he should being here for 6 months.
Plus, I mean, let's be honest, as I've said before, he was kind of a fraudulent silver medal winner. Like, he was lower tier on the Olympic team. He wasn't one of the – I could see if he was a star. Now, maybe he thinks he's a budding star in 2016 or whenever the next one comes around. But he was a second-tier sprinter.
But is there an outlet for track and field people, like, you know, like the figure skaters go on to the ice capades or whatever?
No.
Is there, like – pro events for track and field?
I mean, there's money to be
money.
Made, but
not
I don't
like
know.
That.
Yeah, I don't know if you can
Disney on ice or whatever.
No, I don't know exactly what you would do, but there's a track circuit that you could go out and make some money, I'm sure. And
he won't. And I mean, he's not like Usain Bolt can make money forever off his
name.
Well,
but he's
going to
make it.
Yeah,
he's not
going to
make it necessarily
that.
On the track. He's
right.
Going to make
well,
it being Usain
but
Bolt.
But he can show up to an event and get the Tiger Woods appearance fee, and he'll make money. Jeff Demps isn't doing that until he becomes a real sprinter.
And the other side of that Jeff Demps coin is, from a football perspective, I think that throughout the course of this year, since he's been with us, I think people are expecting an awful lot from a guy who was really sort of a run-of-the-mill return-type guy in college. He's a good returner. The Patriots have a big need for kick returner especially. And I'm really, really intrigued to see that. If he could be the kick returner in place of Devin McCourty next year, that would be, to me, an upgrade. But let's not lose – this guy wasn't Percy Harvin at Florida, which is kind of the role that, you know, people envision him. He was not that productive. I think he had – what did he have, like 600 and change yards, Andy, for a career high at Florida?
Could be.
You know, he wasn't – I don't think he ever had 100 carries in a season at Florida. So he's not necessarily the savior. I think people are expecting a little bit too much out of this guy.
Finally, and that's why I would never be a good GM, by the way, because I would have cut him immediately. Like, upon the agent calling me and telling me he's going to run track, good. Tell him to run forever.
Okay. The next day, I just got this thing, Jeff. You're not a Patriot anymore.
Yeah, I just don't understand the mentality. Like, do you see a problem with that, or does it not bother you?
I don't. I'd like to know the details, but on the surface, I don't like it.
I guess,
I'm with you. Look, be here. Right. Train to be a football player.
You said
player.
You wanted to be a football player. Right. We paid you like a football player. We gave you some bonus money. We've invested a year in you.
You're either with us or you're against us.
Woo! Brian finally says, as for the do you like girls question, it's vastly inappropriate. You're not allowed to ask that in job interviews, and that's basically what the NFL Combine is.
Yeah.
I'm more curious about Casas and Teo's draft stock falling. If that were to happen because Casa revealed that line of questioning from Combine scouts, wouldn't that be actionable? I mean, wouldn't he be able to sue the teams who asked that question and to a lesser degree the NFL for potentially lost salary? There's the argument that he was asked that to see how he'd respond, sort of like gauging how a player will handle themselves in the media limelight. However, I feel that's an unacceptable line of questioning to gauge that. There are other ways to fluster a player to see how they react. Anyway, thanks for all your hard work during the season and off season. Keep up the good work, gentlemen and Eric. So, we all remember the Jeff Ireland
comment,
right?
But that's inappropriate, but that's not illegal.
And also,
yes, right.
I don't think
you can also argue relevant.
Oh, yeah.
But he was trying to fluster the guy.
Yeah. No, I know, but you could also argue the line of question is relevant. I don't think
what
you can argue if you like girls is relevant to this guy.
Exactly. And I think that what you're arguing, and listen, I'm not defending Jeff Ireland because I don't think he deserves to be defended. But the argument with Dez Bryant was, can I rely on you? Or is your family's situation so bad that it might cost you time with my team? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And listen, it's ridiculously inappropriate. But she had problems with crack. She had problems with supposedly the dealers and pimps and that type of thing. It's not like it was made up. It's not like, you know, I'm meeting you.
But there's a way to do that.
No, I understand. And I don't know how it was done.
How is your family life? Is there things, you know?
And that might have been how it was done.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how Jeff Ireland just flat out said, is your wife a prostitute? I mean, is your mother a prostitute? I don't know if that's what she said.
Is your wife a prostitute?
I don't know. It's really not that
one,
much
one
worse.
Is just as bad as the other.
No, I know. I just – that would make me mad.
But to me, like –
although, like that Olympic – remember the lady that just came out, the high-priced call girl?
Like,
the guy's wife was a prostitute.
But like Andy said, what is the relevance of are you married? Do you like girls? I mean, how does that help you as a – you know, do they really want – players that aren't married, so they're completely committed to the team? Or do you look at the flip side and say, oh, this guy's a mature guy, he's married, he's not going to be out at the bars partying it up, he's going to be home with his family? I don't what would be the reasoning? I don't get it.
And I do think there would be teams that would look down upon him bringing it to the media. Now, you can never prove that they did, and he can't sue and say, my draft stock, you can't prove that. But, like, I don't think the Patriots would be happy that he brought that to the media's attention, the fact that he was asked this. I mean, that, and I'm not saying they're the ones that asked it or would ask that. I'm just saying the way they want everything kept in-house, they don't want that happening.
Whichever team asked that and is now revealed probably took him off his draft board, right?
And I think other teams probably.
Yeah.
Some not off their draft board, but would say, is this a guy that's going to run, you know, yap into the media about, you know, inside-type topics or something?
Yep. I forget who they were interviewing on the TV or radio the other day, and they said, you know, what if you were asked questions like that? And he says, you know, what you probably just answer it, and you know, because you're talking about your career here, and you know, you just kind of play along.
It's hard for you to be bigger than the situation and say that is an inappropriate question, which I will not answer at this time.
Right.
I mean, I find it hard to believe a 20-year-old is going to say that.
Right. It's hard.
I remember. I have. Brother of a girlfriend that I had once, who was becoming a doctor. He was finishing up med school and had all kinds of interviews and stuff. And they asked him if he was married, and he said to them, "You know, you're not allowed to ask me that." Now, a little bit of a different situation for a guy who's about to become a doctor,
right,
as opposed to a guy who's trying to work his way into the NFL.
But
same. And you know, he ended up answering the question. He sort of chastised the person. Your mic off, Fred.
Are you sure you're not allowed to ask marital status?
I'm pretty sure.
You fill that out on your form anyway.
Once you're hired.
Yeah.
They can't make the decision
to
hire you.
Saying.
Oh, this guy's got a wife and kids. He's not staying after five. He's not dedicated to me.
Yeah.
Once you are a member of the organization, you can know it.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, and then that becomes part of, like, your tax.
Right, you know, and your health care and everything.
But you can't – I mean, part of that question is how dedicated is the guy to his job? Am I getting a young guy whose career is be-all, end-all, or am I getting a family man?
If I'm interviewing somebody, I can't even ask, do you own a car? I can say, can you get to work, you know, and leave it up to them on how, but – that could be an economic type question, like do you have a car? You're not supposed to ask that question. You're supposed to say, you know, are you able to get to and from work? And then leave it up to them to figure, you know, on how.
Huh.
So it's tough. All right, food's here. We're gonna take a quick break. It's 1:03. We've been going over an hour. We'll do that. We'll come back. We got phone calls coming in, more emails here in PFW in Progress.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her more.
She works hard for her money, yeah, on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we're talking everything that's going on in the NFL. Tom Brady's extension and restructuring. We're talking Brandon Lloyd. We're talking Manti Te'o, if you want. What else are we talking about?
Jeff Demps,
Wes Welker.
Anything you want. Alex Smith was
Alex Smith
is traded
to the
traded.
Chiefs. Good move for the Chiefs.
I guess.
Did they get better?
Maybe you got your transition. You didn't get your long-term better.
Right.
Like, you didn't get Andy Reid's Super Bowl-winning quarterback better.
Certainly the 49ers are now, everyone's saying, they're poised to not only own the draft, but maybe make a move for Darrell Revis.
I saw that. That's a scary thought.
That is a very scary. I think any defense that picks him up is...
Yeah, but when you start with that defense,
exactly.
You know, if you said Seattle's going to add him or that, you know, you're talking about the best defenses in football adding him.
So now it goes Harbaugh in the 31, 32, and 33 picks of the last two of the first round and then the second round.
Yeah, what I meant to check the draft order. Thomas Dimitroff in his transcript said we're picking 32. He's not picking 32, is he?
Not unless someone
would Harbaugh be picking 32?
Yeah, John would be picking 32.
Unless they traded away that earlier.
There was only one trade. I believe the Rams have the extra pick from Washington, and I thought that was the only non-traditional pick in the first round.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got to check that.
The other thing I read that.
I wasn't aware that Baltimore lost their first round pick for any reason.
But this is interesting because it's the Matt Cassel trade all over again.
Right.
It's the early pick in the second round for
the other thing I read is that at the combine the Jets were shopping around Revis, or at least exploring that, in that Rex Ryan was not in that loop, was not involved in that at all, which I found kind of interesting. And also,
I thought they were avoiding people at the combine.
No, that's what I read, that they were talking, but Ryan had nothing to do with it, which kind of lends to the whole theory that this is it for him. You know, they gave him this year, but if things don't really turn around, he's out at the Jets.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
And they spent, both of them, Idzik and Ryan, spent their press conferences on Darrell Revis talk, basically saying finding ways to say, we're not trading him, we're not shopping him, but we would trade him like we would trade anybody, and blah, blah, blah.
Right. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Tom in Templeton, wherever that is. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. I just was finishing up the combine stuff, and I'm trying to do my mock draft, and every time I get to the Patriots, I keep coming back to wide receivers.
Okay,
I
like
wondering,
it.
You think BB would take a wide receiver in the first round?
Sure. I don't think BB would not take anybody in the first round if he thinks he's good enough. The question would be, in this draft, at least in our early work here, is the depth of the wide receiver class, and if you can get a guy in the second and maybe get some, you know, a pass rusher or a defensive lineman in the first, that's, you know, going to be gone, the whole depth of positions type thing.
Yeah, that was my worry with the wide receivers. The second and third round is stacked. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's why I have, and I said it on Tuesday, I've kind of fallen in love with Terrence Williams out of Baylor. And you know, it seems like he's going to be a second round type guy. So I might be more, and safeties. I certainly think if you think safety is one of the top needs, you can get a safety second, third round, maybe pass rusher. Or I know a lot of people are slotting offensive line. There's a lot of people that think Patriots could take an offensive lineman late in the first round.
Yeah, I'm a huge Barrett Jones. I put him in there in my first mock draft because he could play center and both guards positions, and I think he could be an all-pro in any of the three positions.
And he's the pipeline
prospect. The pipeline, exactly.
Terrific player. I just really, I don't want an offensive lineman that early. I just don't.
And the question I get to back to that is, okay, you have, you know, obviously you could make an argument, I guess, for replacing Wendell. I mean, even though he had a great year and everybody's lauding him for what he did, but you've signed Dan Conley. You've decided he's one of your starters somewhere.
Right.
You have Logan Mankins, and Marcus Cannon is sort of like this moon that's, you know, circling the offensive line. Does he ever get to fall into place there? And, you know, supposedly he was your value pick. If he didn't have cancer, he would have been second round pick or this or that.
And well, you know what they say about the chemo? It's 2 years. It's not like the ACL. It's 2 years after chemo.
Well, the ACL is apparently 3 months nowadays.
Yeah. Right. Well, pretty soon it'll be next week.
Yeah, really.
Questionable ACL.
Well, I think we'll find out about Cannon if they sign Vollmer or not.
Well, so far it's appeared in various games that they just don't want to play Cannon. You know, we've had points where it looked like Cannon should play and he didn't play. So I don't know. And
well,
I kind
Cannon
of agree with them.
If Cannon can't play, then they have to sign Vollmer.
Right. Well,
or do your thing.
They could draft a tackle in the first round, draft a right tackle easily.
Yeah, Fluker will be sitting there at 29. That's for sure.
Could be.
I think.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a right tackle. He's not a left tackle.
Right, and there is certainly enough depth of the offensive line in this draft so that they could get one.
Yeah, there's some good linemen on both sides of the ball, but absolutely some depth at offensive line
and
as well.
As I said, if I get my exciting wide receiver in the second, and if I get my playmaking safety in the third, then do what you may with that first pick.
You're getting playmaking safety in the third now.
Yeah, I'm getting a playmaking, hard-hitting safety in the third.
What if they already talked to guy?
Well, what if Matt Elam's sitting there at 29?
Tyron
McGill. He had a hell of a combine.
Honey Badger.
Matthew. Oh, that's Honey Badger.
Matthew.
Oh.
No,
I'm sorry, Tom.
Florida.
No, I know Elam from Florida. Fred was confusing
the
us.
Honey Badger's
Fred wanted to know about the Mateau guy.
He's a slot corner. I mean, he's less than 5'9". There's only two starting corners in the league under 5'9".
Right, but until
and
he becomes a playmaker.
Most of them don't smoke weed like he does.
I would probably beg to differ.
I thought, hey, I'm thinking of a guy from LSU, not Oregon.
Tyrann Mathieu, that's from LSU.
Oh,
he's the
okay.
Honey Badger.
What are you talking
I
about?
Thought, why did I think Honey Badger was from Oregon?
Because
I don't know.
Poyer's from Oregon State.
Right, never mind.
Fred's just confusing. Stop listening to Fred. It'll only confuse
Tom,
you.
Fred doesn't know who Jordan Poyer
but,
is, please.
Yeah, Elam, you know, he's obviously in that mix. He's probably going to go a little higher than my little plan to get a safety in the third.
I don't think he's going to squeeze out of the first round after his time.
We'll see. I still have my doubts of him going in the first round. I think he could be early second. But I've kind of positioned myself in for either Rambo or Swearinger.
Yeah, I really like Rambo.
So,
the safety too.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Good draft stuff from Tom. Yep. He's all over the mock draft.
Let's go to Eric in Houston. Eric with a K. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up, fella? I got a couple questions for you guys.
On your internet.
The first one is: would it cost a lot of money to sign David Nelson?
No. And everybody has him penciled in.
Yeah, a million or so.
Paul likes him. I saw Greg Bedard or somebody at the Globe likes him. Paul thinks the Bills would have been in the Super Bowl had he stayed healthy a couple years ago.
Yeah, I just really like him because of the size. I think we need at least one tall receiver.
Yeah, if he can play. And I know a lot of people think Nelson can play, but I'm not a big believer on size just for size's sake. You know, remember David Terrell? We were going to bring him in because Tom needed a big receiver and all that, but didn't really work out.
Okay, and I got one question, like an off-season question. In your guys' opinion, who was a better offensive coordinator during his time with the Patriots, Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels? And I'll hang up and get you guys' opinion.
You know, that's a good question.
It's an interesting one.
It is.
Charlie Weiss.
I like Charlie, and I think that he was – I meant the job that he did. I think he was a little bit more imaginative and had less, you know, weapons
less.
To work with.
Yeah.
In a different time. Do you know what I mean?
I think if Charlie could have checked his ego at the door, he would still be a great offensive coordinator in the league, instead of trying to be this head coach and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. I agree with you. I think he's hell-bent on being a head coach.
Right.
And that's bad.
And I think he was a good offensive coordinator.
Right, but Bill was a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, see, I would rather be the head coach in college than an offensive coordinator in the pros.
Yeah, but
if I was a coach.
He stinks at both. He stinks at college. They want to run him out of town in Kansas.
Yeah, you might be right.
Well, part of that is because
the big part is
he loses, but also he rubs people the wrong way. He's already had feuds there. Remember the whole controversy with the PR and the bullying the team newspaper and all that crap.
But
I mean, he has issues. I do
think you can't deny he was a good offensive coordinator.
Right, and I agree with Paul. He did, I think, more with less talent. Now, it was a different era. They didn't have to score as much, and he had a defense. You know, if you say Brady had a defense, well, Charlie had a defense too. And Charlie's whole thing was you never lost because you punted. Well, Brady probably feels like sometimes now he could lose by punting.
Yeah, I just think this is a much more offensive era, and I think if Charlie were the offensive coordinator over the last 5 years, they would have scored a similar amount of points.
Right, but you also have to give Josh credit for what he's done.
Absolutely.
He didn't have receivers, then he had receivers. He had his quarterback, then he didn't have his quarterback. He's moved a lot of pieces around in that 06 to 09, whenever he left, range, where he set records or made the best out of Matt Cat, you know, a lot of variety of ways.
Yeah. What did you think about that same question with Bill O'Brien instead of Charlie Weiss?
It's not a fair comparison, I think, because it's a shorter period for Bill O'Brien.
Can't tell.
I would put – it's really hard. I
think they're very similar. I mean, I think the offenses have changed very little from before Bill O'Brien got here and after now he's left. I think it's
I would probably put him third, even though I like him a lot. I would probably put him third in the grouping, and I'd have Josh and Charlie kind of neck and neck for A, longer period of time, B – having to do it a little bit different ways. You know, Charlie, the same thing. He had a young Brady. Well, first he had Drew. Then he had a young Brady. Then he, you know, didn't have the running game and then had the running game and, you know, kind of pieced it all together in various ways.
Right.
Bill O'Brien kind of had Brady and Welker and a passing game that he massaged, but it was one way to win, kind of, the passing.
For the person who keeps emailing me, I'm not going to read your email until you stop emailing. I have... I have one copy of it, and I will get to it when I get to it. But if you keep emailing it, the chances of you being read decrease.
Exponentially.
So Jim writes in about Eric. He says, we all know Eric will return crying. Eric will have something strike him emotionally and will return with tears dripping from his brimming eyes, and he'll be in love again, but the object of that affection will be saying ew in some African dialect that includes click-click noises. Now, that's not nice.
Where where did he cry again? What exactly? Was Paris. It the Louvre?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he was a Louver. But, like, if you're prone to that, if you're prone to tearing up at something,
yep.
Wouldn't, like, nature's beauty certainly be in that ballpark?
I mean, yeah.
If you see a giraffe right in front of you that
maybe
is just
that
wild.
Does too,
and,
yeah.
I mean, I could see myself.
Grand Canyon?
If that's who you are, I think you could tear up very easily on this
Huskies
African
winning
trip.
The CAA title outright?
Yeah.
Well, you'd be a blubbering idiot if that happened.
Well, they did it.
He's already a blubber.
Just got a note back from the coach.
Huskies won what?
The CAA regular season title.
For?
Basketball.
Basketball. Women's?
No.
Oh.
There's only like three teams eligible.
11, but let him.
That's
go
good.
On with this little...
So what does that mean for Loserpalooza?
It'll mean it's even worse when they lose.
They're the number one seed in Loserpalooza.
So you might actually have to extend your stay a little bit.
I made him stay this year. I guilted him into it.
Their play made me stay.
No, I guilted you into it.
Wow.
But he's going to cry even more when they lose.
In 2010, they were the number two seed, and I stayed until the end of the final that year as well. This year, they're the number one seed. I'm also staying until
the end of the final. Are you flying down or driving?
I'm flying.
I'm such a bad guy.
Okay.
You
when,
are.
What, no, I'm just thinking of
– no,
is that is, these games are on TV somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So I can root against you.
Find them. Find them.
I love Paul, though. Paul – He's the ultimate hypocrite when it comes to hating fans for being Yahoos.
But he's a Yahoo.
You are the ultimate Yahoo.
In a sport, in a school that doesn't deserve a Yahoo.
See, to me, if I were a Yahoo, I would be fully expecting to win the tournament in Richmond.
No, but...
I am not.
No, but you're going to
oh,
be belly
on.
Bumping your brother if they do.
I'll be excited, yeah. I no different than the Patriots.
You're traveling on an airplane to go see low-level college basketball that you didn't even go to the school.
Because I like the team. I didn't go.
I didn't pay for the
Patriots.
That's
either,
the point. You love the team.
But when the
that's
Patriots
great.
Were 1-15, I loved the team. They were playing
right.
a low level
no,
football.
No. You're missing the point. We think you're a Yahoo. We think you are what you are.
I don't think that's being a Yahoo. I think that's being a fan. Being
and
just,
you think all fans are stupid Yahoos.
Just like being blindly loyal and expecting them to win every game and thinking you got screwed every time you lost. That's being a Yahoo.
There's well, see, I think there's varying styles of Yahooism.
I agree.
And you're one of them.
But because I'm a fan.
No, because you're a Yahoo.
No, because I'm a fan. So that's one stage of
extension.
Being a Yahoo. Okay.
But you're a Yahoo.
Okay.
You're a Yahoo.
I'm a Yahoo. I like a team. That makes me a
low
Yahoo.
Level
well,
team.
You pen a newsletter.
It doesn't matter what the team is. It doesn't matter what the team is. I don't pen a newsletter anymore.
Oh, you don't do that
no
anymore?
No one pens that newsletter.
Well, you know.
Or
it,
chat
was good for an extra $15,000, so I did it.
I love when he throws money at me because he gets all defensive. I'm such a loser, I made 15
grand. You know it was a labor of love.
Hey, John Dennis, was it a lucrative loser career?
It was a labor of love.
Lucrative? No, but it was an extra $15,000 that my brother and I counted on each.
That's not why you did it. You did it because you love
Northeastern
Athletics.
That's exactly what, well, I mean, truth be told, and Fred knows.
You wouldn't do it for BU for $15,000, would you?
Fred knows this. I did it.
Good question.
I did it because it was a possibility that I was going to get a job.
No,
I know. You know all about this.
Yeah.
That's why it started.
Till Reggie Roby ripped it out from underneath you.
Exactly. So if you must say why I did it, so if BU was going to give me a job to do it...
You wouldn't do it.
Yeah, sure
you don't
I
feel passionate about their athletic
I wouldn't feel the same, no. But I would have done it.
I hear they're getting a lot of good recruits for the new men's lacrosse team.
BU?
Yeah.
They're starting a men's lacrosse team?
Yeah.
Who's the coach?
I don't know.
They should have hired the guy from Tufts, my guy Daly.
Yeah. Tufts, by the way, in the news for all
yes,
the wrong
I
reasons.
Know.
Peeing in hotels and stuff like that.
Oh, gosh.
What's going
on
with that
school? They party like every other school
slandering,
in the country.
I don't hear other schools getting in trouble these days like that.
Slandering visiting volleyball players?
Yeah. What's going on with Tufts?
Well, that's a different issue.
The jumbos
I know.
And the dumbos.
They're in, in the news for all
the drinking,
issues.
Partying that happens every school, sooner or later it'll cycle through every school. The lacrosse issue is a big fish in a little pond.
Boy, talk about, you know, spin here. What are you, on the PR staff?
I think every school has an alcohol-related stupid event every single day in every single
year. I don't think so. Peeing in a hotel lobby?
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's different.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Andy.
Come
I think
on.
That you have alcohol-related incidents at every school, no doubt. Partying, no doubt. Going to some fancy schmancy ball and peeing in the lobby of a hotel?
Oh, so
I don't think that happens.
So now
everywhere.
One person is responsible for the entire student body. They're all
reflected
in him.
I don't know how it works. It's like after the World Series when the BU kids were tipping over cars on Comm Ave. Was that everybody at BU? Was that everybody at Northeastern?
More than one person.
I mean, no, it was
maybe
a very
he was just really strong,
but it was a very small percentage of people that went crazy,
right?
And it makes the school look bad. That's the way it
happens
works
all the time.
Northeastern
but
look
it
bad
seems
for
be
that.
Happening no. a lot with Tufts but, lately.
Not really. How no. many people have peed in hotel?
No. I'm saying incidents.
No, I'm saying the lacrosse thing is a separate issue. That is a BU yeah. hockey-like issue. They have built a little program on a small level that now clearly has some issues of entitlement and kids and that type. That's a separate issue. I agree with you. That's a problem. That, but I think that happens a lot of places where you get athletes and special treatment and all that.
How about the hockey coach? That
How about the inappropriate questions and the admissions interviews that
I didn't
they're asking
about that one
at Tufts?
This is going to be good.
I couldn't think of a good one.
Why do you come up with that and then not have one in mind?
Yeah, because his school for you know is on the right side for this week, Emerson, because they're you know buying the guy a penis or whatever they're doing.
Well, that's a fraternity; it has nothing to do with the school.
But it's part of the school.
I know.
It's by extension. It's a school sanctioned.
It's kind of weird.
Is he still going to be in the frat, or is he going to join
the
sorority?
What happens? Yeah, what happens then? You know,
and that's kind of a serious question. I know it sounds silly, but fraternity,
right?
By nature, is the male grouping,
right?
Did you see the youth hockey coach that tripped the little kids going through the line, shaking hands?
Like jail? Really?
15 days in jail.
Yeah.
Oh God,
he deserved it. Did you see what?
Oh,
he did?
I know. I agree.
But like, there was another thing. Did you see the 6-year-old girl who's a boy? She has a penis, but she's a girl, and they won't let her use the bathroom.
What do they
the
call
girls?
Those?
Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite. Yeah.
But I'm not sure she's a hermaphrodite. I think she has a penis, but is a girl, like transgender, maybe, or misgendered,
yeah.
or something.
Misgendered. Yeah.
Something. I don't know exactly. But she's six, and like for the first few months of school, she used the girls' room, and then now they won't let her use the girls' room because she has a penis. And I literally saw this argument
Poor
of people
thing.
Like,
how exactly
you know,
is
what
she
if,
a girl?
Don't you feel bad for her,
everything
though?
Else about her is a girl. I mean, she considers yeah. – apparently – I don't know the whole story, but apparently at the age of like 18 months, she thought she was a she. She started answering
I mean,
to she.
Shouldn't and, that alone be proof to all these people that are homophobics that it's not a choice?
Well,
people are born that
no,
way?
No, because, I mean, you could certainly argue that the parents made her that. Only called her, you know, dressed her in pink.
No, the
made
point
her
is
hair
she
long.
Was born with, you know.
No, but I'm not sure she has a vagina, too. She has a penis.
Well, that would make her a hermaphrodite.
Right. I don't believe she's a hermaphrodite. I believe she's more of the gendered thing.
But
you could certainly argue that a parent could take, you know, take a female child and treat her like a boy or a boy and treat her 100% like a girl.
All I know
and
is growing up, no one, up. I didn't choose to be attracted to girls. I just was.
Sure you were when you were bumping butts in
you
middle
know,
school.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I didn't
There's a middle school
that.
Down the Cape that
it,
would
it
beg
just
to differ.
It's the way I was wired.
I agree. I just think it's screwed up like this poor little girl. I mean, she's caught
right.
up in this thing. Like,
I feel bad
she's
for
like,
her.
She literally doesn't have a bathroom to go to because, you know, the boys don't want her in the boys. But and I saw these comments like, you know, it's not fair to my daughter if she was at that school that this girl's walking around with her penis hanging out or something.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Right.
Who walks around bathrooms with their
oh
penis hanging
God.
Out?
You know, that's such stuff that, and I know that's far more serious, but like my son has a peanut allergy.
That's right? What you're going to say.
Peanuts.
Let's be clear. Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Not penis
okay?
allergy.
Now, it's not tremendously severe one where like airborne could be a problem, but they have the first 2 years that he went to the school, it was a completely peanut-free school. And the parents complained so much that now he has to eat lunch separately with the other misfits.
Freaks.
that have allergies. Okay? And, all right. Fine. Whatever.
What do you mean by separately?
What you need to do. He has to eat at a separate table.
Okay. But I didn't know if he was like in a like separate room.
No.
They're in a bubble.
But people, the parents at the school complained because why? It's harder for them. They have to come up with lunches that don't involve peanut butter and jelly. Okay?
How about Nutella?
How about if it happens that, you know, like my nephew actually has one that's really bad. He can't go. He wouldn't even be able to step into Five Guys with all the peanut oil that they use. That airborne would bother him. It would cause a reaction. What if like some kid brings in peanut butter and there's somebody that has a reaction to it and he ends up going into like anaphylactic shock and dies? Would that be okay with the parents?
Sure.
Like they make it sound
like
lunch easier. Like to use your term, Fred, like it's a choice.
Right.
You know, like
right.
Like people choose to be allergic to peanuts right. and can't be around it. It's just
yeah. we can't make any accommodation.
And you
for
go
those
on
kids.
And you go online, like you see like on Facebook and stuff, anytime there's a story like a school bans peanuts and they all say, "This is unbelievable.
Right.
We have to change our whole line of thinking." Well, yeah, you should change your whole line of
thinking.
I thought
it was pretty common now.
For
right?
one person.
I'm pretty sure both my kids' school are peanut free.
It's not
I got in
that...
trouble a couple times because I sent I didn't think and sent peanut butter and jelly.
But it's not that hard. I mean, like you just said, you know, like, so you weren't thinking for a second, right, whatever. Yeah. But it's not a malicious thing. Like,
Sydney
I don't
comes
care.
Home, I had to eat in the principal's office because they wouldn't let me eat
right.
lunch.
And then, you know, washing hands and stuff like that. You have to do that.
Yeah. What about Nutella?
I don't know.
Oh, that nut, chocolate and peanut, yeah. I think it is.
Because I've sent
it's a
that.
Spread.
And so yeah. far, I haven't gotten in trouble.
Nutella.
Well, did you look at the ingredients?
It has some sort of nut.
Yeah, I would think the name would kind of give that away.
But it's not peanut.
If it's a completely nut-free school as opposed to a peanut-free school, there's a difference. Because Will is only allergic
to peanuts.
I don't
know about that. I think it's just peanut-free. I don't know if it's nut-free.
Yeah, so that would be because you might be all right with Nutella if it's just peanut-free.
I've definitely sent it.
See, this one of Will's friends.
Hopefully no kid dies because
I'm just allergic to almonds. That's the only nut
you are allergic
to
that? Yeah, yeah. See, one of Will's friends that has to sit with him at the Misfits table is allergic to everything. Tree nuts, pine nuts, almonds, peanut, whatever, everything. And Will really only has peanuts. That's
so you're allergic to almond milk?
He was positive
I No, I could, like, if there's almonds, like, in a chocolate bar, I can eat it. But if I have just raw almonds, my throat starts to constrict. It feels like it's, like swelling up on me.
That happens to me a little bit with
cherry,
pitted fruit.
Pitted fruits, too.
Yeah, cherries, like nectarines.
Peaches.
Plums.
And I used to love that stuff.
I love
plums. The first time it came on, the reaction was at Bryant College. Because remember, well, you weren't around then, but when we had training camp at Bryant College, we were allowed to eat with the team. Mm-hmm. So we'd go in the caf and just gorge ourselves. And I came out once a big bag full of cherries. And I'm eating them at my desk at Bryant, and all of a sudden, and that's when it started. So this was something as an adult that started. I didn't have it as a kid.
Yeah, very similar to me. Same thing. It kind of gets itchy.
Yeah,
like in the back of your throat. And now, I mean, I really like plums. I loved cherries.
I love cherries.
And
now
even
I can't
now, I like them so much that every once in a while, I'll still just eat them.
If you have one or two, I can probably
dying.
Get them.
And then, you know, my wife eventually said, you do realize that every time you do it, it's going to get worse, and sooner or later, you're going to have a bad reaction.
She'll have to stab you with a pen.
So I stopped.
You can't build up an intolerance?
Yeah.
Or a tolerance.
And the Princess Bride, where he, like, is...
Well, that does happen, too, and Will's going to get tested. He's going to get part of some sort of study at the hospital. That could happen with him. You know, he started off with this peanut allergy, but it might
give him like a quarter peanut every day to build it up.
Because he's never had a reaction since the very first reaction that he had.
Yeah, but you also make sure he doesn't, right?
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of things that you can eat that, you know, everybody is looking to avoid getting sued. So it says at the bottom in the ingredients,
made in a
plant or may contain peanut products or something. There's been times that he's ingested peanut products and hasn't had let's put it that way.
All right, back to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the East Ticket Hotline. Brian is in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I cannot get over the topics you cover.
It really is amazing.
I mean, like, wow. Fred,
yeah.
You didn't have to be taught to be attracted to women as you were a child, yes. And as you've matured, you've found NFL players.
Brian, couldn't agree more. Well thought out analysis right there, my man.
As a fact for you, Paul, peanut isn't a nut. It's a legume or whatever.
Legume.
And I guess I don't. I watched some show on it one time, but it's all confusing. What we call nuts aren't necessarily defined as nuts.
Correct.
So I don't like. A peanut is a legume. I don't know if an almond is a nut. And then a Brazilian nut, which is in Nutella.
Has no hair on it.
It's all over the place. Anyway, can we get on the topic?
Sure.
Sure.
I want to talk about Floyd.
Sharif?
Reese?
I'm on the fence on this one. I'm 100% with Fred and you guys on the disappointment. But what... If we do cut him, who do we get?
Terrence Williams.
To be determined.
I think you need
Greg Jennings.
I'm sure that they have a plan.
Yeah, I would think that they would sign a guy in free agency as well as draft a guy probably in the second or third round.
And they have the chance. I was wrong on this. For some reason, I had it stuck in my head that it was early.
I mean, as bad as our draft record has been with cornerbacks, it hasn't been that great with wide receivers.
No.
No.
True dat. Hasn't been great in free agency either.
No.
I mean, if you
or
really
trades.
Want, I'm not going to get into this.
Actually, trades
have
been pretty good.
It's a little late in the show for Fred to start yelling at me, but you have Bill Belichick and you have Tom Brady, and that is why you win. I mean, they've made a lot of bad personnel moves over the years, and they get away with them because they have the best quarterback and the best coach.
But they have until apparently March 31st. For some reason, I thought the roster bonus was earlier than that. So you can tinker, play, free agent, see who you can get. Maybe it's Greg Jennings. Maybe it's, you know, pie in the sky, Mike Wallace, whatever
right.
you feel like is great.
Even a guy like Brian Hartline.
There's an advantage to waiting to see what other teams do and who gets released.
Yeah, it was in my opinion, a bad date that Tom Condon had that roster bonus due. I would want that early.
Make them
make a decision so I can find a different team. Not
should have been March 1 so he could
settle.
Get out before the league year
right.
starts.
Yeah, right? I think that was a bad Tom Condon deal.
So, but we don't really have a guy we want.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they have five guys.
By we, if you mean Fred, Andy, and I, no, we don't have one. But I'm sure that
I'm sure that
Bill Belichick does.
The fan base, everything. Like, what are we screaming for? We're screaming to cut Lloyd.
Yes.
For what?
A better receiver. So, you know, I would take Terrence Williams and a veteran. You know, Brian Hartline and Terrence Williams, sign me up. Because I'll take the potential of those two over the blah that was Lloyd.
How about Devon Bess?
A different kind of guy.
Yeah.
But we're talking about outside guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Bess I'm intrigued by, too, in a post-Welker world.
That would be without Welker.
I mean, like I said, I'm not happy with Floyd, but then I don't know who we want. I mean,
right.
Percy Harvin, blah, blah, blah. You know.
So you're not to the point where anything is better than Lloyd?
No.
I might be there, too. Anything isn't better than Lloyd.
Yes, it is.
All of those options
if
that
you
Andy
force the
up
ball 140 times to somebody out there, he's going to put up some numbers.
I don't totally agree with that myself.
I mean,
I think that he's been a huge disappointment. We need a wide receiver there. I'm content with the offense. I'm more concerned with the defense.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you, I think if you threw Chad Jackson 150 passes, he'd catch 70 and would have had 900
but
yards.
But certainly any of the guys that are
especially
available
Slants
in free agency
and
that Andy just rattled off, the Hartlines, the Mike Wallace.
Jennings.
Greg Jennings.
Ooh,
Dwayne Bowe. I mean, there's a range there of talent and money that it would cost. I think all of those guys, if you threw the ball 140 times, would have better numbers than
right. And some maybe hugely better, some similar or slightly better, but you're going to get some production out of that.
I agree.
All right. Okay.
Now, the question is, would they? That's the other question. Would they force it to him? As he said, what was the word I keep forgetting? Whatever Josh brought him, credibility.
My credibility
was Josh McDaniels. So he's admitted.
Very revealing
comment.
They
threw the ball to me because Josh was on my side and Josh is the coordinator and all that. If you bring in Brian Hartline, if you bring in Bowe and Wallace, you've invested $50 million, $60 million, you have to have that kind of confidence.
But a David Nelson or a Hartline or someone like that isn't going to get
chances.
That same cachet.
Right.
Well, see, that was my question, too. I mean, this is kind of, if we just drop Lloyd like that, let's admit some bias. I think that as reporters, you guys have some bias that you don't care for him as a man.
My bias is strictly in the yards category.
Yeah, that's
no, no,
not
no, no,
me.
911 yards is not enough for 74 catches.
Ryan,
that's
I could
my
care less
is.
About what he does. I don't know about this stuff that they grew tiresome about. I don't care. I care about the fact that he falls down when he catches the ball, and he only catches barely half of the ones that are thrown to him.
That's what I
care about.
And I can vouch for Fred screaming.
Fred's been screaming about it since week two.
Aside from the fact. But isn't that the same bias? You guys have been 100% on the record on that. I don't disagree. I'm just disclosing that. My point is that isn't that kind of an issue? Wouldn't that be kind of a black mark on McDaniels? Because it really was like the whole McDaniels pulling
in. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
And I think that that's kind of going to be a big deal. I agree also that, that we need to get Lloyd. I'm trying to figure out what option I want to scream for. My binky, like Andy's binky. You know, my left one.
Right. You want your right. Who is our Robert Quinn? We don't have one. We don't have a Rashard Mendenhall right now.
And for some people, it's Wallace. I think Eric is a big Wallace.
I would love to get Wallace, but that's going to be so much money.
Yeah,
so,
and I want to marry Giselle.
That's what I thought this whole Brady thing was all about.
I guess I question, I guess I'm coming to terms that I think Lloyd might have to stay just because of that affiliation. Like, that is McDaniel's boy. He got brought in for that. There isn't necessarily, I mean, they do their job and their diligence, but right. there isn't some glaring, like, awesome guy to pick up that's just right there for right for the picking for good money.
Well, we'll see.
That we can just use to replace him.
We'll see. We don't know that. We'll
yeah,
see.
I mean, last year it was obvious because of McDaniels, because it was cheap. Lloyd was the guy. It was pretty obvious. I don't think there is a guy to that level where it's going to be cheap. He's perfect. He knows this guy. But the flip side of that, I would say, is Josh McDaniels got him here. But what does Bill Belichick always say? It's not how you got here.
It's what you do when you get here. Yeah.
He's been here, and if Bill Belichick didn't like what he saw, he's out, whether he's McDaniels' boy or not.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right. And keep going off on random topics.
Okay. Okay. We're nuts.
Thanks, Brian. Brian and Bright.
Or you know, game.
And as far as this whole, you know, who was it? Bedard was quoting somebody, a source, saying that they grew. I don't know who the source was. I don't know if it was a teammate. If it was a coach, I have no idea who that source was. You know?
Now, to speculate, I'm going to, based on a lot of the other things that he writes, I'm going to base it on someone in personnel.
Okay.
Scout, something like that, that maybe he has a relationship with. Because it seems like a lot of the things that he writes that are source-based have to do with X's and O's in terms of their thinking, their philosophical thinking, for lack of a better term. And I don't think a coach is doing that to him, but I think maybe a scout that he might know.
Do you believe it?
Possibly.
It's not the Patriots' way.
Do you believe it, though?
What?
That they grew tiresome? Are you saying you don't buy the validity of the report, or are you just saying I don't know who it is? So
yeah,
I don't know who it is.
You know,
I try to give credence to these journalists and say if they report a source,
regardless of what I think about Brandon Lloyd. I don't like that happening on my team where people are, you know, being a source for that type of information. I don't like that, you know?
Sure. And they do as good a job as anyone of not having it.
Yeah. And
now,
they want it to be out
and
there.
And it also could be
keep your mouth shut.
It also could be a player. See, but you missed the last half of what Andy just said.
What's that?
Unless they want it to be out there.
Okay. So now that's a good point, you know, to kind of minimize the fallout if they release him. Right. But have they ever cared about that before? Why now? I mean, is Brandon Lloyd this big public fan favorite that if they got rid of him, there'd be this hue and cry?
Do you think
I don't see the reason to have this.
It just makes it
easier.
You
know, reverse PR.
Do you think that they would be able to release a guy, no questions asked, that caught 74 passes for 911 yards?
Yes. In this case, yes.
I don't.
See, I think that
who's screaming if he gets released?
It's not about screaming.
I'll give you one guy who's already been screaming is Mike Felger, and he's using what Brian just said.
Do they really care what Mike Felger thinks?
He's the most popular talk radio show host in the town.
You know what? Then that's scary.
And you're totally,
if all of a sudden they're gauging what they do by Mike Felger's opinion,
you're totally
we got
missing
a problem.
You're totally missing the point.
Okay.
You're being naive.
If you want to go literal, Bill Belichick doesn't care what anyone thinks.
Right.
He doesn't care what Vince Lombardi thinks. He's going to do what he wants to do. It's not about credibility of the guy who's criticizing you.
Yeah, I don't know why.
If you think that it matters to them when they release guys that seemingly on paper were productive, then this guy would fall into that category. If you're saying it doesn't matter to them, I'm not arguing with you. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think that if you want to release a guy who had on paper a decent season, you might want to come up with a reason why you're releasing him other than production.
I don't see the need for this guy. You might be right. Maybe they're thinking that, but I don't.
It's not about Mike Felger or anybody else who's more or less respected in the media. It's about I want to tell my fans why I'm getting rid of a guy who caught 74 passes for 911 yards.
Yeah.
What if they're just laying the foundation to say, we don't want to give you that bonus. We'll redo a deal and keep you around.
And I brought that up earlier in the show. What if that's a possibility, too? I don't know.
We'll give you your salary, but we're not paying the bonus.
I can just see they sit down with them. Brandon, we're just tired. We're just so tired, and we can't give you the bonus. So we have to redo this.
And the whole public groundswell's behind you, and you don't think that matters. I think it makes it easier. I think it makes it easier to cut a guy or Aqib Talib. It makes it easier to not franchise him or not sign him when there are rumors that they're what was the report? Not comfortable with his work ethic or something.
Same thing.
That started to come out a few, you know.
Same thing.
True or not true about Lloyd, I don't like people on my team, you know.
What if it's not on your team? Or what if they're doing it because you told them to do it? What if it's you or somebody who was picked by you to do it?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
But you can't not like
you
it.
Have
you
have to be
it.
Consistent.
No, but you can't
no, but
not
Fred
like it.
Fred doesn't like the fact that we're doing it.
Even
if we
if
are
we're doing it,
it,
I don't like it.
But we've done it forever.
Lawyer Malloy.
Everybody. Her old
No,
this,
but wait
that.
A minute. See, the whole thing with Lawyer Malloy, that was a media creation about him not having
Fred,
the plays.
That's unbelievably naive. If you think
that's
that
twice
that's
you've been called naive in the last five
if,
minutes.
If you think that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a guy coming off a Pro Bowl season is being criticized for having
I know, but
zero he, this, zero
in
that,
that case,
and it didn't come from somebody.
Do you ever remember in that time period someone saying, according to sources, Patriots are saying, it was just, well, you
yes,
got to look.
And that's what media guys do.
But I don't think they were saying sources are telling us that he doesn't have
plays.
No.
It doesn't have to be a source. All it has to be is a guy telling you. If
I know.
I had a guy tell me that something didn't happen that everybody else reported
Why
happened.
Are you holding your nipples?
I'm pointing to myself.
Oh,
I said, I had a guy telling me
cupping your
that
breasts.
Something that was reported as happening didn't happen. And I reported that it didn't happen.
Right.
I didn't cite a source.
Okay.
I didn't say anything. I did what someone asked me to do.
Yeah.
If you don't think that media people do that to curry favor,
I mean, if we haven't
that's
done it,
naive.
If 2003 is the last example of this, then.
No,
oh,
he just
God.
Gave you one from a month ago with Aqib Talib.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Then,
I didn't
and that's
say,
to me,
no.
this cracks in the wall then, if
Fred,
that's
I,
happening.
Fred,
it happens in every team and every
I don't
sport
like it.
Everywhere.
Fred, I don't like it.
I'm 100%
Well, then you don't like the way the sports business works.
I don't like it either. I hate when the Red Sox do it. They do it constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly
but let's not
killing
pretend
their guys
it's just
when they
them
leave.
Or just the. I mean, it's.
No,
it's,
but I only care about the Boston teams because I'm
it's
a Yahoo.
99% of the franchises in all major sports.
Yeah.
The Revs probably don't do it.
I agree. It's rampant in sports.
I don't know. Did you see what they did with the coach on the way out? No, I'm only kidding. What was his name?
Steve Nichol.
Alex from Philly says, I think it's finally time for Bill to change his draft philosophy. We all know too well that Bill loves versatility. Well, I don't. I think the reason we don't have playmakers on this team is because Bill always wants guys to do a bunch of different things. That's why we have players like Jerod Mayo who are good at everything and great at nothing. No more drafting or signing jags of all trades. My philosophy for the draft this year is one-trick ponies. I want the wide receiver that just goes go routes and deep in cuts. Why? Because he can. I want
That's
the
what Terrence Williams said.
I want the pass rusher that just goes in one direction at the quarterback. No more drafting guys who are quicker than they are fast. No more high-motor pass rushers who lack athleticism. I'm on board with Andy. Playmakers. My draft slogan this year is screw versatility, get playmaking ability. Shout it to the heavens, Andy.
Woo! Playmakers.
Alex and Philly, that was my rant in the middle of the season. Let's stop looking for the cornerback that can play on all four
jags
downs.
Jags of all trade. That's a nice.
Jags of all trade, Alex. I'm stealing that. I'm going to let you know now.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if one of these days Bill goes, you a-holes, every spring I got to deal with, get Quinn, he's great. Playmakers, you got to do that. Stop talking.
Well, I'm pretty sure that happens, just in private. But I agree with that sentiment. I think that too often we are fixated on the guy that can do everything well and not the guy who does one thing exceptionally.
The one irony in his thing, though, is the guy who's quicker than he is fast is like the team's best playmaker in Wes Welker. He's your punt returner. He's your guy who catches 120 passes.
Will says, why are you guys talking about hermaphrodites? I get the whole homophobic thing is an issue in our society, but this is a football show. Can you guys stay focused and actually talk about football?
Sexuality is a part of football these days, correct?
The answer
Am I
no.
wrong, Fred? Quame Harris, Manti Te'o. Who's the tight end? What's his name? Sexuality is a topic in football these days. It's been a growing topic.
I heard they were going to pool their money and get Zuzifis a sex change operation.
What's he talking about?
What's his name?
Why did he come up with this stuff?
Zuzifis is a backup tackle on our team.
He might
team.
Be your
I
starting
know.
Tackle next
it's
year.
It's a joke.
Or he could
it's
be the
a
swing
joke.
Tackle. He could be the swing tackle.
Oh, my
tackle.
God.
I don't get it. Why
See?
Is it a joke, though?
Because that's what they did at Emerson with the kid.
But why'd you pick? I don't get the Zeus.
It's a
thing.
Random guy. Just random. That's what makes it funny.
He
it's,
just happened to come up with a random,
random
guy who he couldn't pronounce.
Except it didn't make it funny.
Okay.
That's the flaw in it.
People out there are laughing.
If,
I can hear them.
No,
I can hear in my head
they're laughing at you,
people,
not with you.
People are laughing.
If Vollmer goes, right, and Cannon's the starter, you have a possibility to have one of those guys as a swing tackle.
I think there's a chance Zusevich could be their guy. He comes from Iowa, comes from the Kirk Ferentz Cleveland
Kyle
Browns
Hicks.
Developmental
is
program.
Is Matt Copa still here?
No.
No?
He doesn't even play tackle.
I think he went to the Cabana.
Where is he?
Isn't he a tight end for the Chiefs?
Oh, I didn't know that. You learn something new every day.
So it's don't mock like me for thinking Will Allen was on the Steelers.
Just say it.
Let's see. Scott writes in, and he says, I'm back after my annual February football hiatus. If you will...
He didn't used to have those in 03, 04. He's only had them since 07, right. 11.
If you will, I will throw up, or out, some random thoughts for 2013. Comment or not, I'm curious what you think. 3-for-2 at tight end. Given the history of Gronk and Hernandez, does Ballard keep the offensive playbook intact? Second and 8, all three tight ends are on the field. What package does the defense defend with? This could be interesting.
Base. Three tight ends? Yeah. Run for me. You know, base,
but
base
it does
defense.
Give the Patriots options. I mean, you can choose what you know whatever they're defending and go
either
way.
Yeah, but
you're
not going to put extra defensive backs to go up
against
three
tight
ends.
No, but now you're passing.
Well, I mean, it depends how you look at it and depends what your defense is. I mean, there's certainly some teams that could go with a big nickel and say, I get a safety.
You could motion out of that and put, you know, Hernandez wide and Ballard.
You can
do
all kinds of
all kinds of things.
A big part of that is the versatility of Hernandez and Gronkowski.
Right.
I'm just saying that those guys are going to be matchup problems for any defense.
I think that's his point, yeah.
But right. It's not going to affect, I mean, your personnel thing, and you're going to have the same guys are going to be covering
them. Right. But I think saying is it's going to be tough to match up against that.
What he's saying is Jake Ballard's overrated.
Is Depp's running track at 190 pounds, or are we back at square one when he is done running track?
I'm not sure he's capable of being 190 pounds.
And I have no idea what he weighs right now.
I don't know. Good question, though.
Knowing how bad we've been at drafting wideouts, would we be better served drafting a guard or center in the first two rounds?
I mean, if that's the philosophy you want to use, sure, I guess.
I mean, if you can only pick the players that have panned out in those positions, then, yeah.
Well, you would have never gotten Rob Gronkowski because you have failed so many on tight ends, you can't draft a tight end.
Grab another offensive lineman because that's the only – I mean, you have Mankins, you have Matt Light. You have Solder, so yeah, grab another offensive lineman. They all work.
But you can't draft defensive line, corner, safety, wide receiver. Your team's going to be strangely built.
given the roster, does the term best player available become the mantra? Given the roster, does the term best player available become the mantra?
Well, I mean, it's always the mantra.
It's always a combination of
need. But I mean, look at this team. It has needs, clearly, depending on what they do in free agency, but... Is there one position where you'd say, I just can't absolutely fit a guy there?
Right.
I can't possibly take this. Maybe tight end. If the best tight end in the draft slips, okay, maybe you don't take him.
Right.
But if for some reason Eddie Lacy is available and they think he's like this phenomenal running back, you don't think they'd say, Steven Ridley, you had a nice year.
Right.
But this guy can hit the home run.
That's
or
right.
Or whatever. I think there's very few spots where they'd say we can't take that guy.
Does Wes Welker get tagged as the guy who can get you there, but what does that mean?
He's good, but he can't get you over the
top. Yes, he very close to
Oh,
that.
I see. When he's not talking about franchise tag, just who the guy is, how we think of
him. Labeled.
Yeah.
Labeled as that guy, and that's certainly, and we've talked about it. If he's your best playmaker, then you're lacking playmakers. You have a problem.
Vince has at least earned or outperformed his contract, but Mankins looks like wasted money since he got his. I guess it's just an observation there.
Been hurt.
And I thought he was pretty good last year, too.
Through injuries. I mean, for 2 years, he has been nothing but hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt in Miami in opening day. That was opening day, right?
11. Yeah.
11. And has been hurt nonstop ever since. And yet, gutted through two seasons and played at least a competitive level, at least a good, a starting caliber guard level.
Right.
Yeah, and I know it's, you know, offensive line, Pro Bowls and stuff. I know there's some flaws to that, but he was a Pro Bowler.
No, but just watch it. How many times has he been absolutely bitch slapped?
Right.
Now, I can give you times when Dan Conley's been bitch slapped by
Sean
Ellis.
He's very rarely the problem to me.
Or I can give you times when, you know, he's usually the problem in big games occasionally, like Super Bowls, where you're going to go undefeated. What? I
People
love
can
Mankins
hear you.
As much as anyone, but he's got a little Welker in him, and he's the leader and highest paid member of your offensive line, and your offensive line has failed to live up to the challenge at times in big games.
Francis has become the new Jarvis Green. Is Spikes worth
Imagine
the hassle?
Imagine if I didn't love these guys, how I would talk about
it's always
him.
Another area that doesn't involve the quarterback, Fred.
Oh, God, he's so nauseating.
Francis has become the new Jarvis Green. Is Spikes worth the hassle of re-signing him? And how about bringing back the big nickel Razai Dowling as yet another safety?
How about Razai Dowling plays before we decide where to play him?
Yeah, if we could rely on Razai Dowling being part of the equation in the secondary, I think that would be a good thing. I just don't know if you can.
Tavon Wilson is part of the big.
I think Tavon Wilson might be your starter next to McCourty or McCurdy, as we would say.
Yeah. And let's pump the brakes. I know we're not allowed to say that on the show. On the Justin Francis is Jarvis Green.
Oh yeah.
I like Justin Francis. He's a high motor guy. Just don't tell Albert Haynesworth. He thinks those guys are only white. But he's a high motor guy, but he hasn't accomplished anything.
Chris from Toronto says, just letting you know I spit up my banana laughing with and at you at your Zusevitz joke. Mark tape. See? People in Toronto are laughing.
Because they're Canadian. No Americans.
I knew he was going to make fun of the Canadians.
He would have a reason. You
nobody
know.
South of the border got it, as they say.
Brian agrees with Paul. It's really not that much to ask about the nuts. The real concern is some kids don't understand how devastating an allergy can be. And this doesn't even touch on kids who have seriously acute allergies like Paul's nephew. And just joking around could seriously harm another child. Peanuts are great, but you know what? I'm not willing to risk a child's life just for peanuts. They can eat them when they get home.
Yes.
Yeah. I wish more people felt like that. We create a safer environment. A little bit more peace of mind.
Melvin in Tennessee, what are the Patriots' chances on taking two wide receivers, maybe one in the first and one in the third?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. There's no way they're going to rely. Even though we're talking about they could use two, they're not going to rely on the two rookies.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. Not necessarily zero if, like, all of a sudden just
no,
like,
I'm saying zero.
It falls there and they have no alternative and they just couldn't pass it up, I suppose.
0.0.
But I'd be absolutely floored.
Emailer says the Patriots are definitely the most hated team, but that doesn't mean every team hates them. This is why the Patriots get everyone's best shot, but they still continue to win. That's why we see a team like the Cardinals celebrate their win like it was the Super Bowl. Patriots fans may have a certain level of arrogance, but not the team. I've seen this team week in and week out respect their opponents prior to the game, regardless of their record, and then say after the game that we need to get better, regardless of the outcome or score.
You haven't seen the after part
the Patriot,
of that equation very
the Patriot
often.
Way doesn't coincide with arrogance. That is why when the Patriots put up 50-plus points, it's seen as disrespect. But when other teams do it, it's because they were clicking on all cylinders. There is definitely a bullseye
took a lot
on this
of heat
team.
For doing that.
Paul's comments. There's definitely a bullseye on this team because of how other views the Pats. As a fan, I appreciate what the Patriots have become through the years, and I understand that hatred comes with the territory. Signed, Pete Shepard. No.
Who is that? Really?
No, I don't know. It didn't say. I just thought I'd read it. Cody in...
That's good.
Did you read the guy who wouldn't stop emailing yet?
I don't think I have.
Did he stop emailing?
Cody from West Virginia. Love the show, and I just want to ask you what you think about the idea of letting Welker go and signing Mike
Wilson.
Wallace in the offseason. Now, I say Mike Wallace and not Dwayne Bowe, although he is probably better because I think Wallace fits what I want the offense to look like next year more. I think we should draft Tavon Austin.
I knew it.
And have him play the slot with the help of Gronk, Hernandez, and Austin opening up the middle. We could absolutely torch guys with Wallace deep. Also, with Austin, he can beat people deep with his speed, and there's absolutely no way they could cover him with a linebacker. Overall, I think with these mismatches, our offense could rival that of 07. Thanks, guys, and tell me what you think about this scenario. And please don't get the impression that I don't like Welker. I love the guy. He's great, but I think Tavon has a higher upside.
The upside of that offense, as in general, would be phenomenal.
Yep.
The downside would be concerning.
The downside would be Wallace doesn't really pick up
none
the offense.
None of them
offense.
Click. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
you
Wallace
have
doesn't pick up the offense.
As your only guy you can count on if you're Tom Brady. Right. You have Mr. Dropsy's Aaron Hernandez. You have a rookie, and you have a guy who is not a consistent, polished threat in Mike Wallace.
And a rookie, by the way, who is absolutely tiny.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that
Jeff Dempsey.
If you start hitting him over the middle the way Welker gets hit, if he's going to
sure.
be able to put
I'm
up
sure.
with that.
He wouldn't.
You know,
I
now,
guarantee
he was extremely
it.
Durable in college, and he talked about that at his at the combine
we'll
and
see.
Never missed a game and all that. But there's a – let me just tell you, Fred, this guy makes Wes look big. Wes is markedly bigger than Tavon Austin. Now, everything that the emailer wrote is true. I mean, he's a dynamic player.
And that offense would be exciting.
The upside of that offense, as Andy said,
huge.
Would be amazing.
But the downside is a lot of Brady body language talk.
No one's where I want him to be.
Seriously, that's the downside.
All right. Finally,
interesting,
Michelle will get the last word. She says, I'm all for cutting nice Lloyd. He seems unwilling to take a hit. Maybe he's afraid of getting hurt. Very Bambi-esque. Either way, did I hear it correct, but did the Giants put a first-round tender on Salsa Cruz? Isn't that awful risky? They're not really loaded on in that position at all. He's, by the way, is appearing with Jacoby Jones on Dancing with the Stars. I didn't know Cruz was.
I didn't hear Cruz was going on.
I knew Jacoby Jones was.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And Kelly Pickler, our girl.
Yeah, I did see that. First round tender. I mean, that's what do you what did you want him to do?
Well, I think she's saying that opens up for other teams to be able to sign him.
Yeah, and then you can match it.
Yeah. So. And there's no more poison pills, right? You can't do that.
No, but that's. I mean.
Well, till there is.
You can't lose him unless you want to lose him, unless you're okay with it.
Yeah.
So I don't really restricted free agent. You give them the highest you can give them, and you go on.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress, a fast-paced show. Let's see.
A lot of
Eric's, he's not going to be back by Tuesday, right?
No, he's still out in Africa.
I think he's all next week.
Okay.
Out.
All right.
Unless he's dead.
And that would be a good story.
And that would be a great story. Right. No.
No, no, no. If he fell asleep and died in his sleep in his sleeping bag, that's not a great story. If he's like running from a lion and then like trips on a rhinoceros, and that's a great story.
Yeah.
Not all stories of death are great.
Maybe he'll date a titsy fly. All right. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.